proles. If there was hope, it must lie in the proles, because only there, in those swarming, disregarded masses, 85% of the population of Oceania, could the force to destroy the party ever be generated. The party could not be overthrown from within. Its enemies, if it had any enemies, had no way of coming together, or even of identifying one another. Even if the legendary brotherhood existed, as just possibly it might, it was inconceivable that its members could ever assemble in larger numbers than twos and threes. Rebellion meant a look in the eyes, an inflection of the voice, at the most an occasional whispered word. But the proles, if only they could somehow become conscious of their own strength, would have no need to conspire. They needed only to rise up and shake themselves like a horse shaking off flies. If they chose, they could blow the party to pieces tomorrow morning. Surely, sooner or later, it must occur to them to do it. And yet, he remembered how once he had been walking down a crowded street when a tremendous shout of hundreds of voices, women's voices, had burst from a side street a little way ahead. It was a great, formidable cry of anger and despair, a deep, loud ooh that went humming on like the reverberation of a bell. His heart had leapt. It started, he had thought, a riot. The proles are breaking loose at last. When he had reached the spot, it was to see a mob of 200 or 300 women crowding around the stalls of a street market, with faces as tragic as though they had been the doomed passengers on a sinking ship. But at this moment the general despair broke down into a multitude of individual quarrels. It appeared that one of the stalls had been selling tin saucepans. They were wretched, flimsy things, but cooking pots of any kind were always difficult to get. Now the supply had unexpectedly given out. The successful women, bumped and jostled by the rest, were trying to make off with their saucepans, while dozens of others clamored round the stall, accusing the stallkeeper of favoritism and of having more saucepans somewhere in reserve. There was a fresh outburst of yells. Two bloated women, one of them with her hair coming down, had got hold of the same saucepan and were trying to tear it out of one another's hands. For a moment they were both tugging, and then the handle came off. Winston watched them disgustedly. And yet, just for a moment, what almost frightening power had sounded in that cry from only a few hundred throats. Why was it that they could never shout like that about anything that mattered? Until they become conscious, they will never rebel. And until after they have rebelled, they cannot become conscious. That, he reflected, might almost have been a transcription from one of the party textbooks. The party claimed, of course, to have liberated the proles from bondage. Before the revolution, they had been hideously oppressed by the capitalists. They had been starved and flogged. Women had been forced to work in the coal mines. Women still did work in the coal mines, as a matter of fact. Children had been sold into the factories at the age of 6. But simultaneously, true to the principles of doublethink, the party taught that the proles were natural inferiors who must be kept in subjection, like animals, by the application of a few simple rules. In reality, very little was known about the proles. It was not necessary to know much. So long as they continued to work and breed, their other activities were without importance. Left to themselves, like cattle turned loose upon the plains of Argentina, they had reverted to a style of life that appeared to be natural to them, a sort of ancestral pattern. They were born, they grew up in the gutters, they went to work at 12, they passed through a brief blossoming period of beauty and sexual desire, they married at 20, they were middle-aged at 30, they died for the most part at 60. Heavy physical work, the care of home and children, petty quarrels with neighbors, films, football, beer, and above all, gambling, filled up the horizon of their minds. To keep them in control was not difficult. A few agents of the thought police moved always among them, spreading false rumors and marking down and eliminating the few individuals who were judged capable of becoming dangerous. But no attempt was made to indoctrinate them with the ideology of the party. It was not desirable that the proles should have strong political feelings. All that was required of them was a primitive patriotism, which could be appealed to whenever it was necessary to make them accept longer working hours or shorter rations. And even when they became discontented, as they sometimes did, their discontent led nowhere, because being without general ideas, they could only focus it on petty, specific grievances. The larger evils invariably escaped their notice. The great majority of proles did not even have telescreens in their homes. Even the civil police interfered with them very little. There was a vast amount of criminality in London, a whole world within a world of thieves, bandits, prostitutes, drug peddlers, and racketeers of every description, but since it all happened among the proles themselves, it was of no importance. In all questions of morals, they were allowed to follow their ancestral code. The sexual puritanism of the party was not imposed upon them. Promiscuity went unpunished. Divorce was permitted. For that matter, even religious worship would have been permitted if the proles had shown any sign of needing or wanting it. They were beneath suspicion.
Fairly unknown, as the party slogan put it, how much lobbying influence media companies have in this country. The top three major companies donating to President Obama's campaign in the last election were media companies. Some of the largest lobbying firms in the United States represent multiple media companies. And so we see a huge amount of influence going into those administrations. We see a lot of influence in our Congress. We see a lot of influence with the president. And then, as you're pointing out, influence from media who are now a part of the Secretary of State program. So, look, at the end of the day, what we have to look at is RT speaking to people in a way that media in the United States is not? And without question, the answer is yes. We have a left-right paradigm in this country where media pretends to be at odds with each other over the left wing and the right wing. But in reality, when those two wings all start attacking one particular news entity, in this case RT, then you know that that paradigm is starting to break down.
Of course, and the reason is because in terms of true national distribution, only about 4 to 6 big international corporations now control the national distribution of news. And unfortunately, they're in bed with big government, whether the big government's in charge at any given time by Republicans or Democrats. And they have so much business to do in Washington, they don't want hard-edged investigative reporting, which is one reason you have so little
of it. About compromise and the values. You said the president has a partner. You can disagree about what that means, but for your Republican opponent, Mr. Bevin, that is a bad thing, that you would be the president's partner.
Well, the primary voters of Kentucky will decide how they feel about it. I'm very confident I'll be the nominee of my party next year. I've been there on 4 occasions during this administration to provide a lifeline for the country, to save the country from either a government shutdown or a default. I thought linking opposition to Obamacare to shutting down the government, something people hate even more than Obamacare, was not a smart strategy, and I said so.
What are leading Washington Democrats saying about Mitch McConnell's funding of Obamacare? Harry Reid said this.
Republican leaders' cooperation was essential.
Chuck Schumer.
Including Mitch McConnell is showing a lot more strength and courage.
Liberal Dick Durbin.
I want to thank Harry Reid, my colleagues, Senators Schumer and Murray, and Senator McConnell, who stepped up to be his partner when it really counted.
Liberals all agree. Mitch McConnell
is happening all around the country is that guys like you just don't have the capital. And the GOP is funneling all kinds of money into the other guys' races. And Mitch McConnell, he has said that his goal is to make sure that there are no Tea Party wins anywhere in the country this fall. So he is clearly taken off the mask. He is not a Tea Party guy. Anybody who he used to be at Tea Party rallies. He used to be the guy who was like, oh, I'm just, yeah, I support. No, you don't. You never have. You're a fraud. So they have all of this. Go ahead.
He is a fraud. And I'll tell you, the people don't have a chance to do something about it. And you are correct. They have historically always bought their way back into power. They believe they're going to buy their way back into power again. But I'm begging your listeners and the people of Kentucky and across this country, if ever you have cared, care now. If ever you are going to rise up now. If ever you are going to write a check now. If you've ever worried about your country, worry now. Because this is the absolute crossroads that we must make decisions today that are going to affect us for generations to come.
You know, you could always remind everybody, you know, there are really typically two kinds of people in politics, those who want to make a point and those who want to make a difference. Now, in order to make a difference, you have to win. Winners make policy and losers go home.
Go back real quickly to something you said, though. The thing about a crossroads that people don't appreciate, when you get there, you have 4 options, essentially, 5. You can stop and do nothing. You can go backwards. You can continue on the exact same path. You can go to the left or you can go to the right. This is not a simple task before us. I am begging people to go to the right. This is our nation needs people who care. I've talked to thousands of people around this state, thousands. There are people who care, but they need to care enough to come out and vote. And if people would come alongside us, go to mattbevin.com, reach out to us. We will be able to plug people in these last days and weeks to be able to make this happen. 2 weeks from yesterday, May 20th is the primary.
The people that it has no other source of power except the sovereign people. Is still the newest and the most unique idea in all the long history of man's relation to man. This is the issue of this election. Whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. You and I are told increasingly we have to choose between a left or right. Well, I'd like to suggest there is no such thing as a left or right. There's only an up or down. Man's old age dream, the ultimate in individual freedom consistent with law and order, or down to the ant heap of totalitarianism. And regardless of their sincerity, their humanitarian motives, those who would trade our freedom for security have embarked on this
freedom, not the party of big business. And if we can get that message out that we aren't out there just for rich people and we aren't just concerned with the plutocrats and those who are rich. But the way to say that is that, you know what, when we start reforming government, when we start saying there's not enough money for everybody, the first people we ought to cut off is big business. Stephen Moore's written a lot about this. There's $20 billion in direct payments to big business. The Fortune 100 get on average $200 million apiece. People say, well, that's, you know, just, you know, piecemeal. There's not much to that. Well, the symbolism of it is very important. One of the richest men in our country started Solyndra. Why in the world will we be giving a loan to one of the richest men in our country? That's just absurd. Of the Department of Energy loans, there's a $20 billion worth of loans. 80% of them were given to Obama bundlers. So why don't we take back the mantle, which Reagan, I think, was able to do, that we are the party of the working class. We are the party that will protect the individual against crony capitalism and big government.
You should fight for your destiny. When they try to destroy your home, there is only one way to go. Get a life for yourself, play no games, seek your revenge. Get it right, rule the night, break the chains, show them you care. Fight forever. When you're the blinding light, then together. Forever free and right. Fight forever.
In America today, everything is political. From the weather to your light bulbs to the subtle control of your speech in an Orwellian newspeak and even your thoughts through political correctness and mass psychological manipulation. Life, like politics, isn't a spectator sport. It is a full contact blood sport. Stand together, fight together, or suffer the soft despotism of atomized individualism and collective control. While the rhinos push the "we have to win before we can govern or even tie our own shoelaces" meme, and the Democrats offer freebies, which first have to be plundered from someone else, to buy votes, Americans are distracted by frivolities and a feeling of powerlessness leading to political apathy. In the opening clip, we heard from Chapter 7 of Orwell's 1984. That was a fiction written in 1948, but apparently some pricks thought it was an operations manual. From that chapter, it said, "When heavy work, the care of home and children, petty quarrels with neighbors, films, football, beer, and above all gambling filled up the horizon of their minds, to keep them in control was not difficult. Once a proud, free people, we are reduced to mere spectators in the political duopoly game of red pachyderms versus blue asses. Lack of civic duty and virtue leads to losses for liberty, conservatism, and eventually, the dissolution of our confederated republic. You can only lose if you try and fight in the first place. Spectators don't lose. because all they do is watch, cheer, and bitch. Winners only win if they fight and outcompete their opponents. Liberty favors the bold, the virtuous, and the resolute. Soft despotism is the invisible yoke of tyranny hung around the necks of mundane spectators who prefer equal misery, equal mediocrity, and equal sensitivity for their feeble feelings and sentiments rather than the courageous triumph of liberty and virtue. Proles and animals are free, but some animals are more equal than others. Stop being a spectator. Stop thinking like a serf. Stand together. Fight together. Live free together. Is the Preakness more important to you than the race in Kentucky? No, not the Derby, but about ditching Mitch McConnell. Are America's Got Talent or American Idol more important than the primaries deciding this year's midterms, which are happening right now? This Tuesday, we've got Arkansas, Georgia, Oregon, Kentucky. If you're in Texas, there's a runoff on the 27th. And then in June, you've got Alabama, California, Iowa, Mississippi, Montana, New Mexico, South Dakota, Pennsylvania, and there's a special primary in the 1st Congressional District in New Jersey. Is a mediocre last-pick NFL draftee's boyfriend more important than resisting a political correctness that silences speech and numbs your mind? Are wrapping papers more important than the constitutional parchment? Is Candy Crush a higher priority than quantitative easing? Do you even know what quantitative easing is? Do you care? Is paying an unskilled teenager $15 an hour to fry potatoes and flip burgers a bigger issue than 36,000 criminal illegal aliens unleashed on our streets? Does Ben Affleck wrecking Batman loom larger than what happened in Benghazi? Is Hillary's husband's ex-girlfriend more worthy of discussion than an Article 5 convention and nullification? Is Bouncy's sister punching her pimp a higher priority than the breakdown of the family or preventing the slaughter of 4,000 innocent children a day? Is pissing money away in the state-run lottery more concerning than a $17 trillion debt or hoping your horse comes in more vital than state-sponsored cartelization on behalf of gambling tycoons who buy politicians to throw your money at corrupt foreign governments? Is a beer bong or a hookah higher on your list than government agencies confiscating private property without due process or accessing porn preferable to worrying about the NSA's data mining of all Americans? Are you more interested in selecting a winner in a popularity pageant than defending your rights and performing your civic duty? Are we more concerned about being offended than being plundered? Are you stuffing your face with genetically modified Cheetos while Wall Street bankers buy politicians to pick at the dead carcass of your country? Who are you? What have we become? Are we free men or hedonistic dullards who think with our feelings and prioritize with our stomachs and our genitals? What the hell are we doing? Again, from 1984, why was it that they could never shout like that about anything that mattered? Until they become conscious, they will never rebel. And until after they have rebelled, they cannot become conscious. They were born, they grew up in gutters, they went to work at 12, they passed through a brief blossoming period of beauty and sexual desire, they married at 20, they were middle-aged at 30, they died for the most part at 60. Heavy physical work, the care of home and children, petty quarrels with neighbors, films, football, beer, and above all, gambling filled up the horizon of their minds. To keep them in control was not difficult. The larger evils invariably escaped their notice. They were beneath suspicion. As the party slogan put it, proles and animals are free. Spectators watch the world go by as they are consumed with their frivolous entertainment, satisfaction of their appetites, acquisition of more useless crap, and pursuit of mere pleasure, while the losers win and the winners lose and the republic dies with a suicidal whimper, one that no one notices until, poof, it's gone. You have a choice. Work hard now. During the primaries, work hard now to further liberty by having real conservatives and conservative libertarians take over the GOP at all levels, or watch the statists in both parties push their corporatist agenda to their benefit and our demise. Now is the last chance to stop those who want to fundamentally transform our republic into an empire abroad and a police state at home. End the destruction of our economy by the Republican-Democrat duopoly and their Keynesian masters at the Federal Reserve by standing with the real conservatives. to defeat the lawless hordes of cultural Marxists, statists, collectivists, oligarchs, useful idiots, and their fellow travelers, especially the Democrat socialists, first, you must crush the rhinos for liberty. You are live on Liberty's Thunder with Rex and Trog, irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I'm your host, the amazing T-Rex, broadcasting to you from Ringmaster Central, the Imperial City. Doctor?
Doctor, I'm your co-host, Trog, the caveman from deep in the woods in my cave on the West Coast. That was a heck of an opening. You know, I can't remember the first sentence now, but, you know, the the clip was very good, and I hope people listen to it. In fact, I hope people read it, the book, Orwell's 1984, because it is so apparent that we now live in that world. We have, in this last year, you know, from the IRS to Benghazi to the Muslim Brotherhood to, you know, just the, you know, the AP scandal to one thing after the next, after the next, after the next, and a compliant media that essentially is, and I don't know if people have done the research or not, but, you know, there's people who are, you know, work in the major media whose husband or wife works in the administration. I mean, it is, everything is locked and tied and ready for a takeover. And, you know, I was just scanning my news feed and looking at, you know, the BLM is just on a runner around this country. And you know, the Nevada thing was just one of them. And it's just it's happening everywhere. I have read a couple of really good articles once I got my internet working again today on, in fact, I just scanned one right before we went into the show, you know, a quick read. But they were talking about, you know, the whole Arab Spring and the Muslim Brotherhood. I remember one or two conservative people, Hannity was actually one of the only guys that was going, whoa, 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 does anybody know who these people are? And actually did a history and exposed them, but nobody else would. You know, they were basically, you know, it's like a Nazi organization. Hell, they hung out with Hitler. You know, they learned a lot of their crap from the Nazis. And yet the United States backed this movement, and nobody would challenge it. Now we have, then we blew up Libya, and we only, the Libyan government, if you could call it one, has control of 3 out of 50 weapons depots, and Libya had a lot of weapons. So here we are, you know, a year plus later, and all those weapons are spread all over the Middle East. They're building a frickin' army, and nobody talks about it, Rex. I mean, I can find the data. I get on the internet. I've got good sources. I have, you know, alternative media, and I know where to, you know, to find information. And they're building a frickin' army, and it's modern. It's getting organized, which means it's getting trained by who? I don't know. You can figure that one out for yourself. But, you know, all over the, you know, Africa, you know, we've got military in 45 countries in Africa. You know, and people don't have a clue. And here's the part that's frustrating. They don't want to know. And I say this all the time, and I've said it 1,000 times on the radio, and I say it in my posts and blogs I write and things like that, is it, what makes you think that a government that would topple, pay $5 billion, and go in and hang out with Nazis? I mean, John McCain's just, you know, he just drooling all over the guy. The guy's a freaking Nazi in Ukraine. And fund that shit and topple a legal government. What makes you think that a government that would do that wouldn't do it here? That's the thing that I don't think people understand. There's not a split morality here, and this is something that I totally respect Ron Paul's mindset on. He goes, if we're a Christian nation, then we should be trading, setting the example, building relationships. I mean, that's basic, you know, fundamental Christian principles. You don't topple countries and bomb countries and give billions of dollars to, you know, horrific dictators who torture and mass murder people, you know, and things like that. Rand Paul's got a great talk on that, you know, and you had a brief thing in your clip. You know, it's just, it, we are in insanity. I say it's beyond insanity. It's almost just a level of evil. There is nothing that would surprise me anymore. Nothing. You know, it used to be something would happen, I would say, wow, guy, that's bad. Why'd we do that? You know, our country, not we like you and I. And that's, I don't understand that. I used to kind of, you know, have that kind of awe and confusion as I was learning about things. And now I'm like going, nothing would surprise me, you know? And that's where we're at. We are at that point. And I really think people should read that thing book and get a clue. Because here's the thing. It's almost as if this modern generation, I mean, this the people that are alive in this country, not everybody, but most of them, are absolutely clueless to history. Now, I grew up in the Cold War and the evil empire. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of had that, you know, that sense of, you know, fear of this, you know, of a country that had, you know, that had these evil desires on the world, you know, and their spies and all the stuff, you know. So I kind of had that coming into this era. But they were over there. You know, it was them. And now we're at a point where you get up and you look around you and you're going, it's here. It's not over there anymore. And you know, people talk about, and you have a clip, you know, with John McCain telling us that we need to get used to the fact that we're going to be spied on, and that's just the way things are, right? Yeah, what a jerk. But, you know, it's almost as if nobody believes that the American people, this 250-year-old country, is capable of getting up, brushing their teeth, and making it out the front door without government, you know, having a camera on you and making sure that you're walking properly in your driveway. And you don't think it can't get that bad? Study your damn history, people. You know, and our frustration, and you and I talk about this all the time, is this whole concept of, you know, we pull 37% typically in a midterm. We got some good people out there trying to get rid of, you know, the bad ones on our side. And there are some nasty ones on our side, you know, on the conservative Republican side, even though I'm not a Republican. But, you know, that's obviously where I'm going to typically vote, you know, because I don't want to vote communist, socialist, fascist, you know. That's why we're where we're at. But we're also where we're at because you got this group on our side that have been in there for 15, 20, 30 years who are no different than the ones on the other side. You know, they're fascists. I mean, John McCain has never seen a war he doesn't like. I mean, that guy would have us at war with Russia right now. You know, that'd be really stupid. But, you know, he don't care. I mean, you know, you almost think that this guy wants to go out in a blaze of glory. I wish these bastards would be the front guys on the front line of all these damn wars they start. You know, in the old, if you go way back in history, you know, the leader, you know, even like Caesar, was the general of the army. You know, he went out there and put his ass on the line with his men. Now they sit around their smoke-filled, well, I don't know if they can smoke in their rooms, with their synthetic cigarettes, you know, and their hookers on one leg and whatever else on the other leg, you know, and make decisions to send our young men off to wars and die and come home crippled and, you know, 104,000, 14,000 of them commit suicide because they told them that, you know, we got this pseudoscience called psychology. Tell them they got a disorder, and here, take this pill, and that'll really screw you up, you know, and nobody bothers to read the damn label. And here we are, you know, and now we're trying to get into another Cold War and now we're poking China, you know, next it'll be India. And I'm like going, who in the hell's going to fight that war? You know, this next generation's pretty freaking soft. You talk to anybody in the military today trying to, you know, get these these modern kids through boot camp. You know, they got their little timeout sign. Oh, I'm stressed. I need to go play Xbox. I need a break, Sergeant. You know, you can't even yell at them anymore. You'll get kicked out of the Army. All the good generals have been kicked out, and admirals. I mean, I have no idea if we're just like, if they're just trying to set us up so, you know, poke India or poke Russia and China hard enough and, you know, they'll attack us and mow us over. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing, but it's insane, you know. And
they got Russian troops here already.
Yeah, and hiding
Russian
in the,
troops
sticking
here.
And sticking your head in the sand is not a solution. And hiding in your damn church, excuse me, in your church is not a solution. You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on, people. You know, you can go and sing and praise God and pray for God to fix things. God's been waiting for us to fix things forever. America was it. It was the land. It was the freest country ever compiled in the history of the world. But it required moral, educated, involved citizens. Now, what do we have today? Uninvolved, uneducated, immoral citizens with a handful of people where you live back there in that hellhole, you know, with their fingers in everybody's pie, making all these rules. I mean, the Senate and the Congress barely passes a law. It's all done at the BLM. It's done at the CIA. It's done at the Pentagon. It's done at, you know, this group, that group, all these unconstitutional organizations that have been developed, you know, through the past 40, 50, 60, 70 years in this country, you know, they passed 3,000 laws. You don't even know what they are. You're probably breaking a law listening to this damn radio show. And now you got this net neutrality thing, you know, Senator Obama saying, hey, it's vital that the internet, you know, remains free and that the little guy has a voice. And he's getting ready to change all that. And where are the Republicans, you know? Talking about the one thing. They don't even talk about Obamacare anymore. I think they've just folded on that. Now it's Benghazi all day, every day. And most of the crap with Benghazi, yeah, you know, some guys died. It was terrible. And that was a bad situation. There was a cover-up. But what about the millions of weapons that spread out of Libya? Where is the real investigation? What's the picture? A circus? And a stadium, you know, bread and circuses, you know, throw them free bread and keep, you know, in Rome and keep the Colosseum full of freaking people killing each other and keep their attention focused on things that really don't matter while we go out and conquer the world and wage wars and do what the hell we want to do and live like kings and queens. That's really what it is. We are living the last days of Rome. And you know, people can say, oh, you guys are conspiracy theorists. I don't know. Read your damn history. You know, I think you and I are pretty level-headed. I've listened and read all the conspiracy and things like that. But,
speak for yourself.
You know, I mean, here we are. You know, another week goes by. And it's insane as hell out there. We're in the middle of the midterm elections. I don't know how many people are even paying attention. I know that not enough because there was a couple guys like Boehner, you know, got reelected. Cornyn, you know, in Texas, another neocon that hasn't seen a war he doesn't love. I'm like going, this isn't that difficult. What are people doing, Rex? I don't know. Anyway, that's my opening. Frustrated as hell. I don't know what else to do. You know, speak, research, educate people, connect the dots, throw it out there, and hope people wake up. And I really don't think that, you know, I think the problem with America is you don't starve if you don't do anything. You get free shit.
Huh.
You know, in other countries around the world that can't, yeah, for a while that can't print money, you know, when their economy starts going to hell or their country or their leaders, you know, go bad, people start starving, so they rise up, you know, and that until they become conscious, they cannot rebel. That was in that clip. That one caught my ear. I was like, yeah,
mm-hmm.
You know, you got to get educated. You got to get a clue. This is your country. What are you going to do if you wake up one day and realize you live in a communist state. What are you going to do? Just keep going to work and, just keep going to work and droning yourself through life? I mean, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. You're up.
Yeah, well, I think you nailed it. And the title, you know, winners, losers, spectators. You can't be a spectator. You cannot be a spectator. I mean, this country was never designed for spectators because it was all based on self-government. And if you're going to have self-government, then you got to be involved. And, in fact, the principal way it was set up and the organizing structures of political involvement were the state militias. Your unit, your neighborhood, your community, you knew everybody, you looked out for each other, you were the first responders, you were prepared to fight off an enemy attack, and you were involved in choosing those from amongst your community that you would send to the legislature to write the laws and elect a governor to execute the laws, and then you did the same thing on the federal level. That's how it used to be. But now we've been turned into spectators. Well, if you're a spectator, you're not free. You are watching it happen, and therefore they will pick your candidates for you, and that's what they're trying to do. That's why these primaries are going the way they're going. Now, you know, we've had a few conservative victories. Ben Sasse, I know his name ends with an E, but it's pronounced Sasse. He's not as sassy as I would like. Ted Cruz is far sassier than Ben Sasse, but, you know, we can send in more reinforcements to support Cruz and Lee and Paul, and that's what's going on right now. And wouldn't it be great to make Rand Paul the senior senator from Kentucky this Tuesday? Well, Rex, I don't live in Kentucky. What can I do? You can make phone calls to people in Kentucky and educate them about Matt Bevin. Actually, I don't know much about Matt Bevin. Great. That means you're not listening to the show because we've talked about it before. But by all means, go to his website. Look him up. In fact, we'll play a clip for you, little Matt Bevin. You heard from him in the opening clip there. He was interviewed by Glenn Beck. You got to do something. And you can make calls. If you have money, you can send money. Don't ever send it to the party. Send it directly to the candidate. Because if you don't, they pick guys for you. And look at the guys that they've picked in the past. Listen, my friends, I want to be the next president, my friends. So that we can blow up the world, my friends. You know, and then you had the other guy before him. We got evildoers, and we're going to go get them, right? And then, you know, his father, read my lips. And guess what? They're going to give you another Bush. Another Bush. A Bush that says stuff like this.
I'm not that smart, I promise you. Because I can't figure out the politics. I mean, it's pretty crazy right now.
Now, why would they want somebody who's not that smart and can't figure out the politics? Could it be that they want someone who's manageable and do what they want? Is that how this game works? Well, yeah, pretty much. And it's going to work that way, and it's going to keep working that way unless you get involved. Now, obviously, if you're listening to this show on Sunday night, you're involved. You're doing something. You're at least trying to educate yourself. You know, if you got time during the week, you make your calls. You get the conservatives elected. And it's not just about elections. It's not just about voting. You've got to be far more involved than that. But the very simple fact is that right now the government, the federal government, is so big, it is so invasive, it is so powerful that you are not going to take it apart with a vote on Election Day. You're going to have to get people in there who are willing to shrink it from the inside. Oh, that's never going to happen. Washington will never correct itself. Right. That's why we have states. That's why you have an Article 5 convention. That's why you have nullification. So you better know who your sheriff is. You better know who your state legislators are. You better know who your governor is and make sure that you get people that are going to actually help us do this. Well, it's pointless, Rex. It's not going to happen. It's the New World Order. They're taking over. And we've got Russian troops here. And okay, well, I mean, so what are you going to give up? Then you're a spectator. You've just become a spectator. If you're waiting for the revolution, an armed revolution, are you kidding me? You think that guys that are good with guns, even if they go to the range every week and have a couple of dozen guns at home, do you think that they're anything compared to an organized, black ops military unit of foreign troops who are willing to shoot on American population? Give me a break. I mean, maybe you can hold out for a little while, but I mean, you're not gonna take over the country. Okay, this is not 1776. Okay, this is a little bit different, and we are different. And like Chris said in the beginning, we're soft. Yeah, we're soft. Admit it, you're soft.
well, I'm not a soft Rex. I'm a tough guy. I shoot, and I've been prepping. That's wonderful. I mean, how many of you are actually doing that? I mean, give me a break. Most Americans are soft. They're weak. They're programmed by their television. You have to change that. You can't be a spectator. You have to create a force multiplier of grassroots activism to take over the Republican Party. Screw the Republican Party, Rex. They suck. Yeah, they do. What's your other shot? The Democrats? Well, no, there's other parties, the Constitution Party, Conservative Party, Libertarian Party. Yes, and that's how it is supposed to be. There should be multiple parties and multiple independent candidates and better ballot access and more choices and more competition. That's not how it is. That's how it should be, and that's good that you know that, but it's not how it is. And it's not going to become that way unless you take over one of the wings of the duopoly and fix it, and also at the state level. Right, but just this pipe dream that somehow we're going to elect a third-party candidate. I mean, give me a break. Look at what happened in 2012. And Gary Johnson had the perfect shot. Everybody hated Mitt Romney. No conservative liked Mitt Romney. The Tea Party didn't like Mitt Romney. Gary Johnson got 1.4 million votes, 1.2 million votes. It's not enough. It's not going to work. And remember something. They can rig the elections when they're close. They can't rig them when there is an overwhelming winner. They can't rig a 1980 election with a Reagan landslide. Where's Ronald Reagan? He did his work. He's dead and buried. Don't look for another Ronald Reagan. Find the one that we need to be the president in the next 2016 election, which is going to be decided by the clout that you show in 2014. The Republicans are more or less going to take over the Senate. I mean, they're very good at snatching defeat from the jaws of victory, but odds are they're going to take the Senate. Do you really want Mitch McConnell to be the majority leader of the Senate? Do you think that he's going to stop Barack Obama? Give me a break. It matters. May 20th, this Tuesday. What are people doing, Chris? What are people doing?
American Idol, sports,
yeah.
Barbecues.
Bowl games.
Well, you know, and I know you know for the last couple, 3 days, I've been outside since February. Oh, I think I worked right through the winter, actually, on my property, you know, building patios and rebuilding my gardens, and I've been planting for the last 2.5 days, and, you know, I have huge gardens. I'm a nut. But, you know, you can do multiple things, you know, and honestly, I'd rather not know any of the things I know. I've thought about going back to Alaska many times, but the weather sucks. You know, and I had 21 years of it, and I like the milder weather down here. But, you know, I mean, it's easier to crawl in a hole and play Xbox and watch American Idol and watch Fox News and be told who to fear, who to hate, who the enemies of America are, what to be concerned with. Okay, focus on this lost plane for 3 weeks. Okay, now focus on, oh, my God, the evil Putin for, you know, 4 weeks so we can topple a legitimate country and restart the Cold War and spend $1 trillion rebuilding the military all through Europe because of this, you know, this fake thing that we did. I mean, you can sit around and be a drone. And honestly, it worked for a while because we had a constitution that people kind of followed. We had a rule of law and some court systems that, you know, people kind of followed the rule of law. But, you know, while we were asleep, you know, doing our thing, playing our sports, working in our yards, having our barbecues, the bad people took over. You know, year by year by year, this plan, you know, it's a 100-year plan. Goes back to 1913. I mean, Wilson, towards the end of his life, said, what I did was wrong. It was terrible. Well, nobody turned it around. You know, we gave all the power of our currency, our money, over to a private bank, you know, that is a monopoly of, you know, people around the world. And the moment we did that, you know, it's like Rothschild's always said, I care not who makes the laws as long as I can control the money supply. Because once you get control of a centralized government, then, you know, day by day, year by year, decade by decade, they change everything. You know, And the thing is, and I've said this before, you know, study history. You don't think, I mean, when you look at 1984, you know, and you read Orwell's work, it's like profound. Well, it wasn't really that profound. We knew, you know, who the evil communists and fascists and Nazis of the world were, you know, in that era. And so we experienced, you know, hundreds of millions of people being killed by evil leaders. And then if you go back even to our founding fathers, you know, and you think, wow, they didn't have the internet. How'd they know all this stuff? Where'd they get their wisdom? Well, they read. You know, we had 10,000 years of history. We had, you know, Greece and Rome and Europe and the Dark Ages and the restructuring of Europe and the age of, you know, that Enlightenment, that the Renaissance. And so they had a lot of material to look at, accumulation of civilization to look at and go, okay, if you want maximized freedom and maximum power in the individual, then here's the things you do and here's the things you don't do. And so they were able to put together that Constitution and that Bill of Rights to maximize, you know, the freedom of a man and a woman to live their own destiny, to have their, you know, to get up and go, I want to be a farmer. I want to go west. I want to be a gold miner. You know, I want to be a cattle rancher. You know, whatever the case may be. But you could get up and determine your future. Now, you may fail. And that's the thing that I think is one of the biggest problems of this country is we're trying to take away failure and struggle. And we will do it for you. We will make you safe. And I've said this before, you know, and commented to you the other day, you know, if the power goes out and you have a four-way stoplight, you ever watch people try to get through that damn thing? They just, you know, without a light to tell them when to go, you know, they can't even figure out how to get through a four-way light. Well, it becomes a four-way stop. You know, back in the old days, we had stop signs, and you had to stop and look around and go, okay, who pulled up first? Okay, it's my turn, their turn. But, you know, you shut off the power, and people lose their minds. They're so weak and so programmed to be, you know, this sign says, okay, now get in this lane, okay, watch out for the bump, you know, don't watch the road, just read the signs. No wonder there's so damn many accidents. Nobody watches the road anymore. You know, I had a mentor in my life for many years. He used to talk about, you know, what you focus on is what you get. And he said, you ever notice that you're on a bicycle and you see a rock in the road, and if you stare at it too hard, it's like, ah, and then you hit the rock anyway. Well, that's because you're focused on it. You know, you've got to have a wider vision. You have to get your eyes off the problem, look around you and go, okay, who am I? What do I believe in? What's important to me? Is freedom important to you? Because I don't think it is to most people. I think it's, what do I get and why don't I get more is the most important thing to people. Entertainment. I mean, we talked about this crap 20, 30 years ago. I saw this stuff coming. You know, we became this instant gratification. That's why everybody's in debt up to their eyeballs, you know. And people talk about China passing us up in the next 5 years. They've already passed us up. It depends on the factors that you look at. It isn't just gross national product. Hell, we put our damn government spending in our gross national product. You know, we our GDP. You know, I mean, we go, take out government spending. That's $5 trillion from the Fed down to the local. Take that out. And then look at debt load of the country, and then look at personal savings. In other words, you know, what people can purchase. I mean, if Americans, if you shut off all the electronic credit cards right now in this country, how much shit could people buy? Well, our country would crash. If we have a 2% hiccup in the market, you know, which is usually around the credit cycle, our country goes into a default. It's that bad. You know, and my parents' generation would save up money and buy a car. You had to have 20% down to buy a house. You know, now you get one credit card, next thing you know, you got five. You know, I mean, it just instantly put you in debt, just like the EU does. You know, every time they crash a new country and cause a revolution, get in there, the first thing they do is give them a big old bailout loan that they will never pay off. And then they're locked into that banking system, which is our, you know, the IMF, which is our Fed over here. And then they're in debt, and then they're controlled. And then they get used to it. And so that becomes the whole foundation for their thinking is debt first, and then we'll do the rest of the stuff we have to do. And that's how this country's run for a long time, and especially since Nixon took us off the gold standard. We no longer had a core concept like physical gold that we had to tie our dollar to that held restraint on government. And with the Vietnam War, they got in debt to everybody in the world, and then people started wanting their gold back. You know, France, Italy, anybody who had given us money, you know, wanted their gold back. And Nixon gets up and goes, oh, shit, we're going to crash. So he takes us off the gold standard and puts us on the petrodollar, you know, with a really wonderful country like Saudi Arabia became our main focus point in the petrodollar, you know, which is a hideous country with hideous human rights. But that's our ally for the last, you know, umpteen years. And so here we are. You know, we're at the end of that cycle. And some say, depending on which economist you listen to, we should have crashed a long time ago, you know, our dollar. But they just keep printing and printing and printing. And every time they every time it gets bad, they start another war. The U.S. has launched 210 military engagements since World War II, 210 out of 245. We have that many damn enemies? When was the last time we were attacked? You know, you got to get some perspective on not just your federal policy in terms of how it affects us inside the country, but look at foreign policy and get some education, because that foreign policy is a direct result of the weakness of our domestic policy. And we're at a point now where I don't know how many more wars we're going to fight before we end up against a wall with China or Russia or India. And that ain't no third world nation. That's a big-ass freaking military. This ain't a game anymore. So, you know, I don't know. I guess we could have regional state wars could be the next thing
awesome.
That they do.
Awesome. Sorry, I thought I was on mute when I cleared my throat. It's a good thing I didn't say out loud what I was thinking, because that would have probably been bad. We're almost at the top of the first hour, because Chris just talks and talks. I mean, my goodness. No, I'm just kidding. But, folks, second hour, we're going to try to take some calls, try to get you some clips, including that Matt Bevin clip we talked about. The call-in number is 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. I never talk as long as Chris does. I'm kind of shy, actually. He dominates the show. And he brings up all these very important points. Are you paying attention? I mean, you know, he just tied in financial collapse, wars that we can't fight, and a weakened military, and every American is just a spectator. Hey, guess what? When the war comes here, whether it's, you know, civil riots, martial law, an invasion, an EMP, I don't know, you can't be a spectator. You will be in the theater. So get people involved now. Of course, if you're listening, you're involved. But the point is that 10,000 of us can't do this. 100,000 of us can't do this. You need to create a force multiplier. That means that you've got to go out there and you've got to tell people. I mean, do people know that primaries are not all on the same day, that they started 2 months ago and they're going on now? Do they know that in some cases, we've had candidates win with like 600 votes in local races. We've had vote differences of 18 people get people elected. Sometimes in a population of a million people, maybe 40,000 show up to vote. It doesn't take much to take over. That's why these guys have been doing what they're doing, because they organize and they show up and they take over a district, and then they keep electing their buddies. Right, and then you get this rhino cleck takes over the whole Republican Party and pushes out the libertarians and the conservatives.
That's why there's, quote, the Civil War going on, because we decide, whoa, what happened? I was, you know, raising my kids and going to work and running my business and doing all the things I'm supposed to do, and all of a sudden I find out, well, you know, we're like a communist country. There is such a thing. Socialist fascist is more appropriate, you know. And so you decide to get back in the game. Well, you can't let it slide, but it's good that you're in the game. Now get everybody else in. Can't be spectators. That's what has to happen. It's crazy if we just sit back and watch it happen. Now, does that guarantee you a win? No. But if you just spectate, it guarantees you a loss. You know, Eric Cantnot, the number two dickhead in the House majority, was in his district. He put up his guy for chair, right, District 7 here in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And the conservatives and Tea Party people showed up and, bam, booted his guy out, put our guy in. That's the kind of stuff that you got to do. It wasn't that many people. So it just takes a little bit of effort to get people to turn out and do these things. It's pretty friggin' important. In fact, it's so important, Chris, unless you got something you want to throw in there, I'm going to get to a little bit of maybe do some Matt Bevin, because I think people need to know what's going on Tuesday. All right. And remember, all the shows that we have, they're available anytime. You just go to blogtalkradio.com. Search out Liberty's Thunder. There's our page. You scroll down the page. Every title is a hyperlink. You click on it. It plays right in your browser. It doesn't cost you anything. I think there's like a 30-second commercial or something like that. And if you go below the scrolling graphics, there is a download button. You right-click on that. You get an MP3. You can email it to people. You can burn CDs and take it to your Republican Party meetings, your Tea Party meetings, your Campaign for Liberty meetings, your AA meetings, whatever. Hand it out. You can tell people personally about the show. That is the best way because, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, and maybe you just tell them, give it a shot. Just try to listen, you know, listen to this show. I recommend it. I'm not saying that the guys are always sane or that they don't cuss, because that tends to happen when you're talking about politics, or that I agree with everything they say, but they bring up a different perspective. They're not, you know, crazy conspiracy nutjobs, and they're not like establishment rhinos. They are, I don't know if we're sane, but at least we're cogent. And we're pointing out that there are things that you can do practically, and if you don't do them, you're going to get rolled over. You're going to lose the whole game. Is it too late? No. Is it late? Heck yes. You've got to get on point. And if you're on Facebook, go to Liberty's Thunder, our Facebook page. Like the page. You need 5 more likes to get to the next level. Go there, like the page, share the page, interact with the page. You will get updates whenever we're broadcasting. We usually broadcast Sundays, 9 p.m. Eastern. And sometimes we do other shows. I remember during the lead-up to the defund Obamacare and the so-called government shutdown, which wasn't a shutdown, by the way. It was 17% of overblown government. We did some shows on Thursdays to gear that up. So, you know, every once in a while we'll do something. But the important thing is that they're available anytime. So you don't have to just listen now. You don't have to share it now. Just get it out there. If you see it on Twitter, get it on Twitter. If you're on Facebook, also go to Liberty's Talk. That's Chris's group, where there's a lot of information, which is helpful and tells you about what's going on, and you can pick up some good stuff. And remember that when you see the show pick out there, if you click on the show pick in the comments, I post all the clips and all the articles that we reference on the show. In fact, there's probably more than what we reference on the show, because the show's only 2 hours, and we're already killed an hour of the show. I haven't played a clip other than the opening clip. And the other thing to keep in mind is that at 11 p.m. Eastern, if you're listening in your browser live, you're going to lose the feed. The only way to listen after 11, we'll probably go about a half hour later, is to call in on your handset. And the call-in number is 646-649-1013. You can listen to the archive anytime. This is a fairly long clip. It's about 12 minutes. We'll be back on the other side to discuss it. But please pay attention. We're pilfering from another radio guy, but he actually makes money doing this. Glenn Beck. Now, I don't, you know, not a big Glenn Beck fan, but he interviews Matt Bevin, and it's Matt Bevin I want you to listen to.
You know, what I find in Nebraska is that the folks here, they believe that the center of life is in Nebraska, not in Washington, D.C., and what Tea Party means to most of the folks across our state is they want more urgency out of Washington about the bigger things and staying out of the vast majority of life. So I think when you talk to people across the 93 counties in Nebraska, what they're looking for is a lot more serious return to constitutional principles, which is just the American idea that life is fundamentally lived in the private sector. I think that idea is a winning idea all across the electorate.
So, Ben, you're a guy that just collected 49% of the vote in your district, so you're looking to fill that Republican seat of that's being vacated right now. But in the big picture, you're a guy that fixes things, starting from your old university on down. You think you could do that same thing with Washington?
You know, I think the people of America, when they're set free to build great things, they do it. And we can fix big things in this country, but not if you try to centrally plan life. You look at Obamacare trying to centrally plan 18% of GDP. It's not working. The people know it isn't going to work. You need to re-empower doctors and patients and the local community. And I think that's true in sector after sector in America. So we need to free up the American people to be fixing things by having Washington, D.C. stop meddling in every area of life.
Do you think Ted Cruz and company and Senator Lee are coming out and saying it's good? We hope Ben gets in because we need some help in there. Do you find yourself much different than the so-called mainstream Republican?
You know, I'm not always sure what mainstream Republican means. So many of these labels seem like they're driven by national liberal media whose favorite topic is Republicans fighting Republicans. In the election that we just had Tuesday night, we had five good candidates running on the Republican side. But what ultimately happened in our election was people rallied around the idea of America. And I think that, you know, if mainstream Republican means you're satisfied with the way Washington works right now, then the people in Nebraska, we don't believe in that. We don't think, I'm a very conservative guy, but we don't think the problem in Washington is just that the Democrats are in charge. We think that it's too many Republicans want Washington to be, D.C. to be in charge, and we want Nebraska to be in charge, and we want our neighbors in the South and Kansas and Oklahoma and Texas to want their states and their communities to be in charge. So I think we can bridge a lot of these Republican divides, and we can move forward building the bigger future, but not if you think that Washington ruling the country is in our interest, because we don't believe that.
And Ben, when you look at the Tea Party today and the fact that you are the so-called Tea Party candidate who won convincingly the nomination, what do you think that says about the health of the Tea Party that so many want to write off?
You know, in our case, in our campaign, what we were trying to do is say we wanted more of everybody. We wanted more pro-lifers and more Second Amendment folks and more Tea Partiers or constitutional conservatives and more small business people. But what most Tea Party people want to talk about is a constitutional recovery. And I really believe that that's a winning message across the whole Republican Party and across the middle of the electorate as well. So I want to celebrate the Tea Party ideals of constitutional conservatism. But let's talk about what it means and what we're for, not just what we're against.
About compromise and the values. You said the president has a partner. You can disagree about what that means, but for your Republican opponent, Mr. Bevin, that is a bad thing that you would be the president's partner.
Well, the primary voters of Kentucky will decide how they feel about it. I'm very confident I'll be the nominee of my party next year. I've been there on four occasions during this administration to provide a lifeline for the country, to save the country from either a government shutdown or a default. I thought linking opposition to Obamacare to shutting down the government, something people hate even more than Obamacare, was not a smart strategy, and I said so.
What
I'm
are
still
leading
saying so.
Washington That's Democrats saying about Mitch McConnell's funding of Obamacare? Harry Reid said this.
Republican leaders' cooperation was essential.
Chuck Schumer.
Including Mitch McConnell is showing a lot more strength and courage.
Liberal Dick Durbin.
I want to thank Harry Reid, my colleagues, Senators Schumer and Murray, and Senator McConnell, who stepped up to be his partner when it really counted.
Liberals all agree Mitch McConnell was crucial in the effort to fund.
Funding coming to Kentucky's gone up 40%. I have voted over the 5.5 years to approve $123 billion of spending at the federal level.
Well, certainly shutting down the government was a flawed strategy. I like to remind people of one of my favorite old Kentucky sayings, which is there's no education in the second kick of a mule. The first kick of a mule was when the government was shut down in 1995, and this was the second kick. Look, it was a mistake. We knew it was a mistake back in July, but others decided to pursue this strategy. It did not work. So I think the only thing I can tell you at this point is that there are differences. I'm not sure that these kinds of differences might not have been there in a more latent form when you had a Republican president, but I do think there is more of a tendency to pull together when the guy in the White House is on your side. So I think some of these views were probably held by some of my members, even in the previous administration, but party loyalty tended to kind of mute them. And so, I think there are, you know, there are clearly differences, and I think a lot of our members, not having a Republican in the White House, feel more free to kind of express their reservations, which might have been somewhat muted during the previous administration.
Shut your pie hole! We're working here!
Yeah. I'll tell you, this is not a game. What is at stake is significant. It is the future of this great nation. And the idea that we got here by accident, the idea that we just got here by coincidence, and the idea that we're going to stay here on autopilot is a fool's notion. And we have got to take ownership. We've got to step up.
Are you at all surprised by the hubris of Mitch McConnell and the, I mean, we were talking about it yesterday in the office. This guy is, he's not being humbled by this race at all. He is coming out and just swinging hard and really declaring an end of the Tea Party. Are you surprised?
He has nothing else. He has nothing else. Let's be honest. He can't defend his record. He has no vision for the future. He has never cared about anyone other than himself and his cronies. And this is the nature of bullies. It has ever been thus. They will go down swinging. But I'll tell you what, deep down, bullies are cowards. They're cowards. And the reason he is being so vindictive and so personal with me is because he knows that I have no fear of him. I see him for the arrogant coward that he is. And if his hubris and selfishness get in the way, well, then so be it. We, the people, have the ability at the ballot box to do something about that.
Matt, do you sense any reluctance on the part of your fellow Kentuckians to maybe switch sides from McConnell to you because he's accumulated the power that he has and he's become the Senate minority leader and he's been there for 30 years or whatever it is? And they're worried that you will then be the junior senator and you won't wield that kind of power. How do you respond to that?
Well, I tell people who's been the real leader in terms of our senators from the state of Kentucky in the last 4 years,
yeah.
And there is not
Rand
one
Paul.
Person, including the McConnell supporters, who would disagree with the fact that it's been Rand Paul. No question about it.
No doubt.
In fact, in the last 2, 3, 4 years in the U.S. Senate, it's all the new guys. It's Mike Lee. It's Ted Cruz. It's Rand Paul. It is all the new guys in the last 2, 3, 4 years. This old paradigm of you need to be there a long time to have influence is nonsense. And, in fact, the power and influence that exists has been used to enforce things like debt ceiling increases and bailouts and growth of government through everything from the Clean Air Act to the Energy Act to the you name it to amnesty time and time and time again. If you want that power and influence to the extent that it exists to be used for things that are bad for America, then double down on that, America. But if you think we deserve better, we need better, and we must have of necessity better, then it is time to turn the page. It is as simple as that. We've got that luxury at the ballot box, and a great sacrifice has been made for us to have it, so let's use it.
Okay, Matt, I appreciate it, and thank you for your time, and our prayers are with you. Thank you so much.
Glenn,
good luck. MattBevin.com.
I appreciate it.
You bet. Bye-bye.
MattBevin.com.
I got it. Got it.
But that's where you go. If you wanted to contribute to his campaign,
you'd go to
MattBevin.com.
If you believe in Mitch McConnell, then go contribute to the GOP. I mean, if you believe in the progressive answers for the GOP and the John McCains and the Lindsey Grahams and the Mitch McConnells.
Yeah, if you like what you've got.
Then donate to the GOP and work hard to get Mitch McConnell elected. But if you hear this guy and you want a different course, I would ask that you would volunteer your time and make phone calls for him. Contact him through his website and find out how you can help. If you don't have any money, that's all right. We're all in different situations, but
somebody
have a way.
Let's say
to
doesn't have any money to donate.
Is there something that they can do, you know, from the comfort of their own home in another state? Can they volunteer?
Absolutely.
How can
absolutely.
They do this? What can they do?
People reach out. Well, there's this thing called, Pat might be able to help us with this, but there is this thing called the Internet, and if people went to mattbevin.com, they could literally sign up for the ability to make phone calls from home. They could do phone calls in our offices around the state, but doing phone calls from their own home is a powerful, powerful tool, because the biggest disadvantage we have is name recognition and people knowing when they go in the voting booth that they have an alternative to Mitch McConnell. We have made great, great strides. We are picking up huge, huge, numbers every single time a poll is taken, and yet we are still David and he is still Goliath. I want to go back real quickly to something you said, though. The thing about a crossroads that people don't appreciate, when you get there, you have four options, essentially five. You can stop and do nothing. You can go backwards. You can continue on the exact same path. You can go to the left or you can go to the right. This is not a simple task before us. I am begging people to go to the right. This is our nation needs people who care. I've talked to thousands of people around this state, thousands. There are people who care, but they need to care enough to come out and vote. And if people would come alongside us, go to mattbevin.com, reach out to us. We will be able to plug people in these last days and weeks to be able to make this happen. 2 weeks from yesterday, May 20th, is the primary here
really
in Kentucky.
Typically, two kinds of people in politics, those who want to make a point and those who want to make a difference. Now, in order to make a difference, you have to win. Winners make power.
The real game begins.
Tuesday, May 20th, primary in Kentucky. There are several other primaries. Make sure that you're paying attention, but the real key one is Kentucky. Matt Bevin is being reported as not having a chance. Mitch McConnell so far ahead. All that. Don't buy into that crap. People are pissed. People don't like McConnell. People don't want McConnell. They know that he's been handing Obama everything Obama wants. You just have to get them, the uninformed, informed. If they're listening to the Fox noise and reading the local paper that's owned by McConnell's buddies, they're not getting the truth. Make some calls. Go to the website, mattbevin.com. It's real easy. Just go mattbevin.com/remote-calling, and you can actually sign up and get phone numbers and lists of people who are in Kentucky, who are registered Republican voters, and you can inform them that they can take down Mitch McConnell. And if they tell you, well, yeah, but, McConnell's kind of the guaranteed seat, and we need six seats to get the majority, and, if Bevin goes up there and maybe it'll be like a Cuccinelli moment and we'll lose a seat. Well, do you have a seat now? Is Mitch McConnell actually doing anything conservative? No. Is he fighting against? No. He speaks towards conservatism, and he, gets Rand Paul to endorse him. Well, what's Rand Paul supposed to do? Rand Paul's a junior senator. Mitch McConnell is currently the, minority leader. If you want Rand Paul on the Foreign Affairs Committee questioning about the Ukraine policy and the Syria policy and all that stuff, that he can't piss Mitch McConnell off. If you want Rand Paul on the Banking Committee grilling Janet Yellen, he can't piss Mitch McConnell off. So why don't you help Rand Paul out? Make him the senior senator from Kentucky by firing Mitch McConnell instead of leaving him in there to thwart Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, Rand Paul, and now Ben Sasse. Let Matt be the junior senator under Rand Paul's wing. Won't that be a better idea? So just convince people that it needs to be done, and the Republicans can pick up six seats without McConnell's seat. But then they have to have an election to find the next leader of the Senate caucus. And maybe it won't be a loser like Bob Bailout Corker or Lindsey Lightness Loafers Graham or Jihad Jane McComet or, Crony Cornyn or one of these pricks, but maybe it'll be a Rand Paul or a Ted Cruz or a Mike Lee, who will actually do something to thwart the progressive agenda for the next 2 years and really make a difference in 2016. 2016 is going to be decided by this year's race. This year's race is decided by these primaries that are happening right friggin' now. You heard from Ben Sasse in the beginning of that clip. He just won in Nebraska. Now instead of three, you got four in the Senate. That's a victory. It can be done. Then you heard Mitch McConnell telling you about all the money that he's been appropriating for Kentucky so he can lavish it around and ensure that he wins these primaries. Well, make him regret that. Retire the son of a bitch. Ditch Mitch. Get to it. Make it happen. It's up to you. Don't be a spectator, and don't just do the work yourself. Get other people to do the work. Tell them to get involved. It can be done. We can do this, but it's up to you. You have to make it happen. Send them this show. Tell them if you don't want to listen to the whole show, go just to the top of the first hour. They can fast forward on Blog Talk Radio and hear that clip. They'll go, oh, I never heard Matt Bevin before. He sounds pretty good. Great. Get him to vote for him. That's how it happens. What do you think of Matt Bevin there, Chris?
I think we need about 100 more of him.
Yeah.
You know, that's really what it boils down to. When I listen to these rhinos and these progressive liberals in the Republican Party and these neocons, and I was just, you know, listening to the clip and scanning the news and, you know, that crazy man, neocon king, you know, saying, oh, I'm going to run, you know, so I can knock out Rand and Cruz. And, you know, I mean, these guys are insane. They have so much power was accumulated in the federal government under Bush, and people need to wake up to that fact. But what Obama is riding on, he is trampoline, you know, he hit the trampoline, and he took everything that Bush had consolidated in the administration, and he turned that power to his agenda. So if you want to be mad at Obama, then thank Bush, because Bush set up that power system. He consolidated so much power. You know, the Patriot Act, you know, like NDAA, it happened back then. And there has to become a point of time when people mature past the right and the left, the red and the blue, and recognize that you have enemies everywhere. And just so, and especially when we talk about supporting the GOP, I wouldn't send them a dime. You know, after what we saw them do in the primary and then what they did at the convention and what they're doing, you know, through all the different meetings, their quarterly meetings to block, you know, anything and everything they can do to make sure that somebody like a Rand or a Cruz, you know, can't win is what their goal is, so that they can hand you Jeb, who could lose to Hillary. You know, hand you Romney, who could lose to Obama. I mean, it's just, this is how these people are idiots. They're progressive liberals. They aren't even Republicans. And there's parts of the Republican past history and platform that I don't agree with. But at least it is a foundational, you know, free enterprise, you know, the Constitution, you know, God and country. It's got some of those factors in it. But it's got some problems, too, because the Republicans have abused the Constitution just as much as the Democrats have. No, Republicans are the right side. No, bull crap. Do your research. You know, you don't like the Department of Education? Well, you know, Bush doubled, you know, the Department of Education with No Child Left Behind. Obama walks in and goes, oh, look at all this power. Now we can really program the little kiddies and get more of them, take them away from the power of the parent, and we can raise them, you know. And who was it that said, was it Stalin? Give me the children, you know, and I'll control everything. I mean, you know, or it was Hitler or Stalin, sorry, I forgot. But, you know, this is everything that you hate has a foundational seed in both parties. And when you look at Boehner and Cantor and McConnell and the rest of these, and McCain, oh, my God. You know, and you look at these guys, they could run in the Democrat Party. And these are your leadership. These are your senior members of the GOP. And they're scared. They were scared in 2010. You know, when to get Romney to win, the Tea Party had to be co-opted by rhinos at the local level. And it happened. We watched it happen. You know, we saw the reports, you know, because now, you know, with the advent of smartphones and, you know, instant upload of videos, we saw so much stuff, you know, through the primary just going, it's like it's been infiltrated by the Democrats. But they were Republicans. But they hate freedom. They hate individuality. Well, I can't even talk. You know, These are big government, you know, Santorum. Give me a break. Conservative Tea Party, he hates the Tea Party. He hates libertarians. You know, he may be socially conservative, but the guy never saw an earmark he didn't like. He never saw a war he didn't like. And he never saw a big government program he didn't like. And he stood with the Democrats to filibuster the Republicans when they were trying to break the strangleholds unions had. I mean, it was like, are you kidding me? You know, the guy's a frickin' lib. You know, I don't care if he's a Catholic or not. You know, that makes it, to me, that makes it worse. If you're a Christian and you get in there and then you turn into some big government socialist, fascist, then it's for me, that pisses me off more than a guy who doesn't, who isn't, you know, supposedly a Christian. That pisses me off because if you believe in freedom and you're a religious person, then you would not be voting for a centralized, socialistic, fascist power system. You know, and you believe in family and the power of the family and the right to educate your children and to raise them up, you know, in your beliefs, then you don't want a centralized government dictating morality. Because if you have a government that gets a lot of power and forces moral issues on people through the federal government, the next guy gets in who has a different set of morals, i.e. current president, then he uses that power to dictate his morals on the country. And that's what's happened for the last 5 years. There's too much power in Washington, and there's way too much power, Washington, D.C., and there's way too much power in the administration, in the Oval Office. It was never supposed to be this way for a reason. If you are upset that, you know, your rights, whether it's your property, you can't even cut a damn tree down on your house, or if you got a mud puddle on your property and you fill it in, you can go to prison, or have everything you've ever worked for seized. If those things bother you, quit supporting the party and start finding people like Bevin or Rand or Cruz or Lee or, you know, Amash and guys who actually say the Constitution and the rule of law and individual freedom and individual liberty are the cornerstones, and that's what I will fight for, because that's what we need. If we don't, then it's going to be all government, regardless of which party is in control. That's that simple. Back to you.
Yep. No, it's absolutely true. And, I mean, look, there are some functions that do require a central government. And we spelled those out in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. Most of the, quote, laws that have been passed don't comport with that because you haven't been enforcing the law of the land. And what Chris said was really, really key. Why do you want to vote for Matt Bevin? Why do you want to get people to replace McConnell with Matt Bevin? Why do you want more people like Ben Sasse? Why do you want to pay attention to these things? Why do you want Trey Gowdy to do what he does in the select committee? Notice, you know, Trey Gowdy, he doesn't give speeches in committees. He asks questions. That's why they don't like him. The only reason that Boehner called the select committee was because he did it while his primary was going on, and you got distracted, and he won re-election. Don't let it happen with the other guy. Ditch Mitch. He's a bitch. See? It's easy to remember. Ditch Mitch. He's a bitch. Make your calls. Give me some Bevin. Okay? You have to make that happen. And you have to make other people do it, because how many phone calls can you make in a day? I mean, if you're going to sit down and pound the phone all day, you might be able to make 500 dials. You'll get through to maybe 100. You know, maybe you'll catch 100, depending on the time that you call. Maybe you'll get, 20, 30 hits. That's not going to turn the election. But if you got 10 people to do that, that's 200-300 hits. Now, that's something. And if 10 of you got 10 people to do that, that's 2,000-3,000. You might actually change the election. So go to Matt's site. Sign up. Make some phone calls. You know, well, I got work and I got my kids. Fine. Can't do it all day? Do a couple hours. You know, stuff your face with Cheetos and watch Howard Stern criticized some douchebag who's sitting on a unicycle with a, you know, sausage up his ass juggling some balls. I mean, give me a break. Is that important to you, really? Instead of doing this,
You know, and then you're going to hear stuff like, well, Matt Bevin went to a cockfight. And, and when I say cockfight, I'm talking about roosters, not like Lindsey Graham-type cockfights. And he didn't even know he was – that's all noise. Who cares? McConnell's bad, period. He's got to go. Ditch Mitch. He's a bitch. Now, what Chris pointed out to you – by the way, we've only got about a half hour left of live air, and we're probably going to go for another hour. We're going to go for another hour. If you want to listen after 11 p.m. Eastern live, you have to call in and listen on your handset, 646-649-1013, 646-649-1013. If you got something to say, you got a question to ask, just hit 1 on your phone, and I'll try to bring you on. But if you can't continue listening live, remember, all of the shows are available anytime. Just go to blogtalkradio.com, search out Liberty's Thunder. You click on it, it plays right in your browser free of charge. You can download a MP3 and send it to people so that they can hear this message. If you know anybody in Kentucky, fire this off to them. Fire off Matt Bevin's page. Let them know how bad Mitch is. Ditch Mitch. Chris said something really important. You know, Republicans can abuse the Constitution too. You know, some people don't know that. Some conservatives, even some libertarian-ish conservatives, think that, you know, they're okay if they vote with a Republican, or that, well, maybe I don't like him, but he's better than the Democrat alternative. Well, that's not necessarily true, because when the Democrats do it, they get some opposition from, quote, the Republicans, or at least feigned opposition. When the Republicans do it, they cover it up. Okay, so you got to pay attention. Now, one of the chief Republicans, and Chris was talking about him earlier, who promotes all sorts of craziness, my friends. He promotes craziness. He's crazy. He's not up for election until 2016, but if you're in Arizona, get rid of him. Recall. I don't know. Whatever.
Recall.
Okay. Exactly. Because he says stuff that's just – and he does stuff that's just beyond the – I'm a maverick, but I've done a lot of bipartisan stuff. When they say bipartisan – it doesn't mean that there's been any kind of sensible compromise about doing something that they're supposed to do or undoing something that they weren't supposed to do. When they say bipartisan, it means that they have now colluded to screw you over. They're going to take money out of your pocket, or they're going to give you free shit to get your vote so that they could go blow up some guy somewhere overseas or topple another government or listen to your phone calls. Here's a 2.5-minute clip with Jihad Jane McComet, and it'll just blow your mind what this dumb son of a bitch said.
Team, if the Durka Durkistanis have weapons of mass destruction, I'm afraid it could be 9/11 times 1,000.
Jesus, you mean?
Yes.
Taping somebody
911.
Well, using that.
It's the world we live in. It's the world we live in. You don't like it, but everything I say, I expect to be recorded. And that's just the way we live, Dan. I mean, it's something you got to accept. I don't particularly like it. But it is what it is. You know, 53% of the American people in a poll believe that their telephone conversations are being listened to.
Are they?
No. No, but there have been abuses of this system, and young people particularly are not happy. We've forgotten a little bit about 9/11 and how if we'd intercepted the right communications, we might have prevented 9/11. But anyway, it is what it is.
But the whole NSA and, you know, where mm-hmm.
We've got to be more transparent.
Would you put this person in prison who recorded this conversation?
No, I don't think that I would put the person in prison, but it is an invasion of privacy. But it's look, we're all grown people, and we have to realize we live in the 21st century. And I've said things in the past that I wish I hadn't said, and It just is what it is.
Jeez, I'm an idiot!
Did anyone see Scanners?
Did you ever eat paint chips as a kid?
As our voices rise in protest, the NSA monitors your every phone call. If you have a cell phone, you are under surveillance. I believe what you do on your cell phone is none of their damn business.
The NSA is watching me. Verizon and Google are watching me. I know the mailman's watching me. I don't feel safe anymore. What a mess. I wonder who'll be watching me now. The IRS.
I always realize what's watching me. And I have no privacy.
my gosh. Insane, McCain. You know, I didn't think I would be as young as I am, not that I'm young, but as young as I am, and be talking about what we're talking about. And it's really interesting when you look at, I'm going to read something here in a second, but I just want to make a comment. It's really interesting, but this goes back to what I was saying earlier. If you don't like this NSA stuff, thank George Bush. Because when they set up the Patriot Act and their spy systems and their FISA courts, they were abusing it back then. And I don't know how many people even remember it, but I do. And you can go online and you can research it and study, and you will find out they were abusing it then, and it got exposed. And but we were in the middle of two big-ass wars, so everybody was focused on, you know, the mainstream media was, you know, telling us how many people died every day, you know, to beat up on the Republican that was in power. And it kind of came and went. And they got up and said the same thing that Obama just said when he got exposed by Snowden. And there's actually been whistleblowers before Snowden that go back to the Bush era. And it all was a big deal, blip, and then it went away. Well, that's because the Republicans had full control of the House and the Senate at that time. So it got a little bit exposure. And they got up and did the same thing that Obama did, say, well, we're going to, you're right, and we need to be more transparent, and we need to rein it in because it's getting out of control, and okay, we'll fix it. And then they promptly, as soon as everybody went, okay, you know, it's a Republican, they'll take care of it, we trust them, they're making us safe, and then as soon as everybody looked away, they went right back to building and finishing the abuse and finishing the program that Snowden exposed. Nothing changed. The reason nothing changed is because people have the attention span of a frickin' gnat. And they think that because Republicans were in power that it was all okay because Republicans are for the people and Democrats are for the world global system. Wrong. I want to read something. War and the threat of war are big government's best friends. Liberals support big government social programs and conservatives support big government war policies, thus satisfying two major special interest groups. And when push comes to shove, the two groups cooperate and support big government across the board, always at the expense of personal liberty. Both sides pay lip service to freedom, but neither side stands against the welfare warfare state and its promises of unlimited entitlements and endless war. Rex, who does that sound like?
Don't even get me going. Finish your point, because I'm pissed right now.
That's Dr. Ron Paul. That's at
who?
The tail end of a
that's that
Dr.
crazy
Paul.
Guy. That's that
yeah.
crazy guy from Texas who lost the election because Romney stole it.
You mean the guy that actually cares about the Constitution and votes according to constitutional authority? Dr. No. And I love one of his quotes when he said, "Why do I vote no all the time? Because I read the bills." And what did Rand Paul say in the Senate? We need a law passed, you know, a rule passed that we read the bills before we vote on them. But they push them through so fast. The bills are written by the lobbyists. They're written in the back rooms. They're handed to these guys and you know, by their constituent groups, whether it's the, you know, the warfare machine or the welfare machine. They're handed to them and said, we need this bill passed. They scan the title. And then they make their phone calls and send out their emails saying, we need to get together and pass this bill. And then they go to the floor, and they have some little bull crap debate, barely. And then they pass a bill none of them have ever read. And the bills are so damn complex now that you have to have, like, a team of 10 lawyers to even figure out what the bill might mean in the future. And so, you know, everything's kind of crazy right now. And and you said something important earlier. You know, can it be fixed? Yes. But it ain't going to get fixed in Washington. And that's another reason why state sovereignty was such an important issue when our founders put this country together, was that it kept the government and the decisions and the laws close to the people that were being governed. And the federal government had those limited enumerated powers. And it's all reversed now. And people feel hopeless. And they feel like, my vote doesn't even matter. And it doesn't matter who you vote for. They get there and they, you know, do what they want anyway. We have a revolution, and I don't mean, you know, one with guns, but it started with the Tea Party. And whatever you think about the Tea Party, you know, I have mixed opinions about different parts of the Tea Party and you know, how great they are in some things and how foolish they are in others. But it was a movement of people, and it scared the hell out of both groups. And the battle that we're seeing now, especially after they stole the primary with Romney, the battle that we have now, you know, is these guys, these entrenched Republicans, are scared to death. I mean, anybody on the right or a Republican, except for the rhinos and the progressives, is an enemy to the left because they're globalist, socialist, fascist, communist. And so any of our ideas in terms of individual freedom, the Constitution, you know, religion, whatever, is the enemy. But you have a group of people in there on the Republican Party that are, you know, they pay lip service to those things to get you to send the money and vote for them and put them back in office. They're liars. I mean, you can go to Heritage or any of these groups and look at their damn voting records. You know, they're right down the line. They're basically, you know, liberal Democrats in terms of what they vote for. So quit putting them back in power. Retire them. Get rid of them, and let's get a fresh batch in there, you know, like Bevin, okay? Guys who, you know, have built their campaign and their foundation on constitutional individual freedom, liberty, blah, 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 same government, fiscal responsibility, and give them a chance to do something. There are people who went in the Tea Party wave who turned, you know, Rubio, okay, who turned and became establishment. Okay, that's fine. I mean, you roll the dice, you know, on these guys, and some of them are, you know, some of them go bad, and some of them stand by their principles, you know, and you look at Amash, and you look at Gowdy, and you look at Rand, and you look at Cruz and Lee and those guys who are fighting a vicious battle when 80% of the people around them hate their guts because of what they stand for, and they still fight for you. They need help. You know, if we could get a wave of 50, 60, 70 fresh-minded people in there that care about these core principles, and so 20 of them turn bad. Well, you got 30 of them that didn't turn. You're gaining ground. So quit being a defeatist and that it you know, it'll never change. That mindset is exactly what Romney did in the primary, suppressing the vote, and the Democrats mastered years ago. Both political parties don't want you to turn out and vote because they want you to believe it doesn't matter, so all they got to do is get their teams up and vote and win. And you've given up and you've become a spectator who bitches on Facebook and doesn't do anything, and you're just basically allowing Armageddon to happen. That's just what blows me away. You know, people spend all their time worrying about end times and Armageddon and tribulation and all this crap. And I have this, when I work in my yard, I have these talks with God, you know, and I get these little, you know, blips of wisdom, you know, rare in my brain. But, you know, about we good people are allowing this to happen. You know, that's the scary part. I mean, there's always been bad, evil people in the world. There's always been totalitarianism, you know, take control, conquer the world people. Always. Ever since man turned and said, give us a king to rule over us. Stupid man. You know, you got what you paid for. You asked for it. You got it. Now you got evil, imperfect, corrupt men and women to rule over you. Our founding fathers didn't want that. They knew we needed government. But they also knew what governments did. But they require you as a citizen to be educated, more moral, and involved. And that's what we're talking about 99% of the time on this show. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go so long. Go ahead.
No, I mean, you brought up some good points, and, you know, I'll try to get us a little bit of that that Ricky Santorum stuff for next week because it's always fun to beat up on him. I mean, look, he seems like a nice guy, faithful Catholic, good dad, good husband, but he just sucks as a politician, so we'll just shred him to pieces. Jeb Bush said that he, like, wants to govern like Lyndon Johnson. I mean, what you just said just points it out. You elect them, and either they fooled you, like Marco Rubio, or they got turned, like Marco Rubio, whatever. The point is that if you focus on the defeats, like Chris said, right, that you're watching a season of sports. I don't care which is your favorite sport, baseball, basketball, hockey, football, whatever. That's what you're watching. And you know, it's like keeping score. No, this affects your life. This affects everything. You won't win every fight. But if you don't fight, if you just watch, then you will lose every fight. So get in there. Make it happen. Learn who they are. Learn what they do. And quit looking for a friggin' perfect candidate. Quit telling me stuff about, Ted Cruz said this and Rand Paul did that, and he's not as bad, and I'm disappointed. Give me a friggin' break. Who are you comparing them to? Jesus Christ? Because Jesus isn't running for office. You have to compare them to McCon Man and the little orange, crying, tan, useless piece of beef jerky Boehner and little Eric Kent, not that prick from District 7 in Virginia that just got his ass handed to him in his own district, and Bob Bailout Corker and John Crony Cornyn. That's who you're comparing them to. You know, Peter, we can't let our party be taken over by the likes of Cruz and Paul King and Jihad Jane McHammed and Lindsay Lightness Friggin' Loafers Graham. That chick has to go, and she's got a primary. Make sure that you fire Ms. Lindsay, okay? She cannot come back to office. I don't mind turning my records over to Verizon because I've got nothing to hide. Lindsay, I'm pretty sure you got something to hide. Imagine if we got a picture of you in your little pink panties. I don't think that would work well in the South. So you probably got things to hide. Don't give me this that if I got nothing to hide, I should turn my records over. All right, papers, please. Give me a break. And Rubio is young, charismatic, and he appeals to those ethnic voters. Yes, because people only vote for people because of their skin color. You know, he has skin like mine, so I'm going to vote for him. If that was the case, explain how Barack Obama won. If every single black person in this country voted for Barack Obama and nobody else did, do you think he'd be president? No. Clearly, he was elected by white people. People don't vote by skin color. People vote by policy or perceived policy, right? When I say perceived policy, remember, Barack Obama ran essentially on a Ronald Reagan platform. If you listen to some of his speeches, they're ripped right off from Reagan. And he ran as a progressive that was going to give us good standing in the world, make up for all the mistakes of Cheney and Bush, and end the wars and close Gitmo and all these wonderful, and everybody's going to have a unicorn in their yard and a rainbow shooting out of their ass, and it's fantastic. And what did he give you? He gave you George W. Bush's third and fourth term on friggin' steroids, and some dumb libtards still love him because it's all about team, you know? And Hillary Benghazi, they're already gearing up for her. You're doing the same thing. I mean, not you if you're listening to the show, but the Republicans do the same stupid thing. Jeb Bush will make an excellent president. I think it'll be wonderful because he's a good Catholic guy, and he'll appeal to Latinos because he speaks their language and his wife is a Latina, and he's, you know, been really wonderful about immigration, and you know, he's got experience. He was a good governor of Florida. I don't care, okay? He's a frigging rhino. If you want Bush in 2016, then reelect Mitch McConnell on Tuesday. But if you want somebody else, and I don't know who else, maybe Rand Paul, maybe somebody else, I don't know, but somebody else, somebody who will actually say, you know what, the president can't do all these things, and in fact, I'm going to actually undo all this stuff that they've done, and I'm going to put the Congress in its place, and I'm going to shrink the federal government, and I'm going to give the money back to the states, I'm going to let people run their own affairs. If you want that kind of stuff to happen, then get rid of Mitch McConnell this Tuesday, and get rid of all the other pricks. And watch out for snakes in the grass like this one. We got 14 minutes left live. We'll come back 10 minutes after this, and then we're going to roll into overtime. But I'm going to play a four-minute clip because Chris mentioned something that I really didn't want to hear, but I heard it, and that was the word Rubio. You got anything you want to add to that before I play a Rubio clip?
Do it.
All right. This is you won't believe what this little pissant said this week.
Oh, hey, I wet my jockeys here.
On his vision for America. It seems obvious you're moving closer to running for president.
I've openly said in the past that it's something I'll consider at the end of this year, that I'll look at a number of factors, personal factors, but also whether I could best promote this message and actually put in place these ideas that I want to see put in place, whether I could best do that from the presidency as opposed to the Senate.
He told us if he decides to run for president, there is no backup plan. The day he announces he is running, he would announce he is not seeking re-election to the Senate.
If I decide to run for president, I will not have some sort of exit strategy to run for the Senate.
So that will be a decision not to run for re-election.
Yeah, I believe that if you want to be president of the United States, you run for president.
It's all or none.
You don't run for president with some eject button in the cockpit that allows you to go on an exit ramp if it doesn't work out.
Do you think you're ready to be president?
I do. I mean, but I think that's true for multiple other people that would want to run. I mean, I'll be 43 this month, but the other thing that perhaps people don't realize, I've served now in public office for the better part of 14 years. And most importantly, I think a president has to have a clear vision of where the country needs to go and clear ideas about how to get it there. And I think we're very blessed in our party to have a number of people that fit that criteria.
But you think you're ready, you think you're qualified, you think you have the experience to be president if you make that decision?
I do, but I think we have other people as well. I think, in essence, I think our party is blessed to have a number of people in that position. And the question is, whose vision is the one that our party wants to follow?
Senator Marco Rubio.
Happy now, asswipe.
State Senator Damon Thayer will present a new version of his bill to Kentucky lawmakers today. It specifies that a Kentuckian can be on the same ballot twice as long as one of those offices is president or vice president. That would allow Paul to run for re-election to the U.S. Senate and run for president on the same ballot.
If I decide to run for president, I will not have some sort of exit strategy to run for the Senate.
So that will be a decision not to run for re-election.
Yeah, I believe that if you want to be president of the United States, you run for president.
It's all or none.
You don't run for president with some eject button in the cockpit.
Some people think that Senator Marco Rubio may have taken a shot at you today. He said something to the effect that you shouldn't be running for president and the Senate simultaneously. I realize that nobody's even announced you're running for the presidency. But nonetheless, everyone sees as a veiled shot across the bow at you.
Now, Marco and I are good friends, so I think I would be the first to know if you were taking a shot at me. So, no, I don't think so. I think no matter who runs, I'm sort of a Republican who believes in peace and commerce with all Republicans, and I'm going to try to keep it on a high plane.
Just stop eyeballing me, boy. I'll rip your eyeballs out to sockets and skull fuck you to death.
Finally, let's talk about 2016. How serious are you about running for, you know what I'm going to ask, how serious are you about running for president? And would it be to make a point, as your father did in his presidential runs, or would it be to win?
I would absolutely not run unless it were to win. Points have been made, and we'll continue to make points, but I think the country really is ready for the narrative coming, libertarian-Republican narrative, also because we've been losing as a national party. We're doing fine in congressional seats, but we're becoming less and less of a national party because we don't win on the West Coast. We don't win in New England. We really struggled all around the Great Lakes. I think people want a party that's a little bit less aggressive on foreign policy, still believes in a strong national defense, but less aggressive. They want the young people want politicians who don't want to put them in jail for 20 years for a nonviolent drug possession charge. So they want a little bit different face. I think people want a little different face on immigration, frankly. They don't want somebody who wants to round people up, put them in camps, and send them back to Mexico.
Senator Paul,
they don't want to give them welfare either. I don't.
Senator
Excuse
Paul,
me?
We got 30 seconds left. You sound like you're running.
We won't make a decision until 2014, but I think I do want the party to become a national party again and not lose sight of how we grow as a party. So I will continue in that vein for a couple years, and then we'll decide.
Senator Paul, thank you.
At my signal, unleash hell.
Did you hear that little Rhino Rubio try to take a dig at someone like Rand Paul by saying, well, if I decide to run for president, and I'm fully qualified to run for president because, you know, I've been riding on Ted Cruz and Rand Paul's coattails, and I make sure that the Fox News, every time they mention the Tea Party people, they say, people like Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, and Marco Rubio. No, it's not people like Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, and Marco Rubio. Screw you, Marco Rubio. It's people like Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, and Mike Lee, you friggin' moron. And he's, well, then I'm all in, and I won't reserve maybe. That's because, as you heard, Okay, Kentucky passed a law that someone can run for national office in two fields, meaning that Rand has the opportunity to run for president but still remain a senator if he wins that election in case he loses. Why would he lose? Let's see. He would lose because you sit back and spectate instead of participate, and we let someone like Ginsburg and Sununu and Johnny Crying Tan Boehner steal the election again for Jeb Bush from Rand Paul like they stole it for Mitt Romney from Ron Paul. It is all up to you. Rubio is a rhino. Quit buying the bullcrap that these assholes that have appropriated the Tea Party and the Liberty movements to, you know, promote themselves, and look at the ones that are actually doing the work. And no, are you going to like everything that Rand Paul does and Ted Cruz does and Mike Lee does and Trey Gowdy does and Louis Gohmert does and Justin Amash does? No. But you're going to like what they do a heck of a lot more than these other pricks. So make it happen. Remember, Justin Amash fighting for his life up in Michigan. Make it happen. So, yeah, there you go, Chris. You mentioned Rubio. I played a little Rubio, and we've got about 7 minutes before the top of the hour. Remember, at 11 p.m. Eastern, if you're listening live, you're going to lose your feed in your browser. The only way you can continue to listen live is to call in 646-649-1013. We're obviously almost out of time. We won't be able to take any calls, but you will be able to hear the rest of the show live on your handset. If you can't catch it live, remember the archive is available anytime you want. You just go to blogtalkradio.com. You search out Liberty's Thunder, and you can play the rest of this show or any of our shows from the page free of charge. So what do you think of a little Ryan Ruby there, Chris?
You want my inside voice or my outside voice?
Tear up the little son of a bitch.
God, I can't stand that man. I'm sorry. You know, people, I remember early on last year, people were praising him and praising Ted because he got up there and talked about music during Rand's filibuster. The guy's, he's played everything perfectly. I mean, he's just like this, he's like this controlled, you know, robot. You know, here's the bottom line. People go, well, look at his voting record. He's conservative. Well, you know, he got this, the Senate's totally controlled by Dems. So all you got to do is just vote conservative, you know. And this is the thing that just ticks me off about people's lack of knowledge about how the Senate works is, you know, they go in there and they vote to move the bill to the floor, and then a bunch of these rhinos and fake Republicans vote for that, and then they vote no on the bill. It gets passed anyway because you have a Democrat majority, and then they go out there and tell everybody how conservative they are. You know, and with a little bit of research, you see how the Senate works, you realize it's just bullshit. All he's doing is building up this portfolio. He can, you know, run around and go, I'm this, I'm that, look at my votes. Well, when you really need to look at the votes prior to the vote, you know, how many of these things did you move to help move to the floor? You know, and what is his vision for the country? If you listen to bits and pieces of him through the last couple of years, you'll hear what his vision is. He's a perfect rhino. He's just younger, prettier. You know, with a good tan. He's just the next generation of rhino. And they'll spend a ton of money and they'll back him. And they'll sacrifice him like they almost did with amnesty, you know, with the immigration issue, because there's plenty of rhinos in the wings, you know, that'll run in there and bend over in a second, you know, for the establishment. And that's what you got to figure out. Do you want this mess to continue on, or do you want to start turning this monster frickin' ship? You know, this is like an aircraft carrier or a oil ship. You know, they're huge. You know, you start making a decision a mile before you actually have to, or 3 miles before you actually have to make the move, because you've got to move this monstrous machine. And we've been going for a long time, 100 plus years, you know, in this direction, and there's a big reef out there that's going to crash our country, crash our economy, or some monster war these assholes are going to get us into, and you've got to start turning it now. And it's really important for everybody, you know, who is living and breathing 2016 and your favorite superstar, you know, a sports hero, you want to get an office, it's really important to understand that if you do not have a supporting Congress behind them, they won't win. Because a very key part in a primary, if you ever follow a primary, is right before the vote, you'll get 5, 6, 7 name brand people jump up and go, I support Romney, you know. And then everybody goes, oh, well, that's my congressman or that's my governor. Oh, okay, that's who I'll vote for. You wouldn't believe how many votes that's worth. Just that, you know, that endorsement concept. Romney had hundreds and hundreds of strategically placed endorsements, you know, bought and paid for whores, you know, to get up and go, Romney's the man. Romney's a real conservative, you know. Oh, and there we go. You know, he didn't win by saying anything. He just beat up on Republicans, and then he would stutter and spend a ton of money and abuse the other guy and have 2 or 3 people stand up and endorse him, and then they would vote. You know, and that's what's going to happen, but it's going to be at hyper speed because of the way the RNC has set up the election, the primary run. So it's going to be shorter, tighter, less debates. They're going to try to restrict these guys from going outside the controlled debates, you know, and having conversations or get-togethers or, you know, Lincoln Douglas debates like Newt did several of them with several different guys, which were just incredible because you really had a conversation. And they're going to limit all that crap, so it's all going to be one big showcase with, you know, $1 billion thrown behind their guy. They'll have a couple fake conservatives like Rubio and Santorum get in there and run to bleed off votes because they'll get up and go, I love God, and then a bunch of Christians will vote for them. You know, I mean, it's the exact same thing, but it's going to be on steroids in 2016. So if you care about 2016, you need to shore up the liberty-minded people in Congress, so you got some people fighting for who your conservative, whether it's Cruz, you know, or Brand or whatever, you know, whoever it may be, you know, so they have a chance. Because one thing we've learned in the past, here's that history thing again, we've learned in the past with Goldwater and many other situations that if you get a real conservative that wins, and the establishment, you know, Rockefeller, Republican, rhino, liberal, neo-Nazi, whatever the hell you want to call them, you know, doesn't win, then the power elite and the RNC pull support. They did that to Bachman. They've done it to Amash. You know, they did it to Cuccinelli. They just basically pulled support. They would rather have a frickin' Democrat win than a constitutional conservative in a country that has a constitution. Go figure. That's how corrupt or evil, depending on the level of intensity you want to, you know, get into, these people are. They're globalists. They've sold their soul to the bankers, to the Wall Street, to the globalist corporations. They don't give a shit about you. Quit believing their lies and support people who at least run on a platform of giving a crap about you and your personal freedoms. You know, like I say, they get in there and they may go foul. Who knows? But if you vote McConnell and Corker and Boehner and Can't Not and the rest of them back in, you know what you're going to get. Socialism, fascism, actually. So, you know, you're not going to win if you don't take a shot. And you have a chance of losing. But if you don't take the shot, you lose, period. End of report. Welcome to America with a K. You're up.
America with the K. We are in Liberty's Thunder after dark. Things might go a little off the hinge. Oh, wait, we did that when we started. I think that the point of this episode, and what Chris and I have been talking about now for nearly 2 hours, and we're going to start wrapping up soon, is if you're a spectator or you know people who are spectators and you're just watching this happen, and just whining about, oh, the taxes are too high, and the rules, and the wars, and the GMO food, and, you know, I just want to eat my special brownies and hang out in my parents' basement, play, you know, Nintendo, then you got nothing to complain about. This is what you are guaranteed to get. You are guaranteed to get a globalist Wall Street, pandering class who buys the politicians, and then they over-regulate the businesses based on the regulations those companies wanted so that their competitors can't compete with them, and they become the dominant monopoly, and they dominate the politics, and they dominate the money, and they dominate the banking system, and they dominate you. That's what happens to spectators. This is not a game. This is friggin' real, and it's going to get real ugly, real fast, at any moment. Get in there and participate. And that doesn't mean just go vote. You've got to do so much more than that, and don't try to carry the world on your shoulders. You're not going to do it by yourself. You know, Chris and I put these shows out there. Nobody knows that this show exists unless you tell them about it. And I want to thank everybody who's been sharing the show and posting the show and listening to the show and telling people about the show and sharing the archives and going to our page and liking Liberty's Thunder on Facebook and joining Chris's group, Liberty's Talk. We appreciate everything you're doing because you're the ones who are doing the work. But the problem is that there aren't enough of us. And the only way you get more people involved is sift through the lies that people like Mike Huckabee and Bret Baier's Neocon Hour and, you know, all the big blondes on Fox Noise spew at people all day long. People who don't have time to pay as much attention as you do, who maybe click on Fox Noise at 6 o'clock for half an hour and get fed the neocon bullshit and go, oh, Jeb looks like a pretty good guy, and I can't believe what Ted Cruz did, and Rand Paul, that dude's as kooky as his dad. We better elect Jeb Bush, and oh, my goodness, there's apparently some Tea Party guy who's trying to take out Mitch McConnell, but Mitch McConnell's a pretty good conservative guy. We got to reelect him, you know, blah, blah, blah. Educate them. Don't try to convert a Marxist or an Occupy Wall Street and an anarchist. It's not going to happen. Those people are crazy. They're allowed to be crazy in America, but just don't count on them. You've got to go out and get to those Republicans who are actually conservative but keep voting for rhinos, and you've got to reach those who do not participate, those who don't vote. Oh, voting doesn't matter. It's all rigged. You know what? That's true. It is rigged. But they can only rig close elections, and they've been rigging the elections because you've been turning out less and less, and you've been allowing them to put these electronic machines in there. Here in the Commonwealth of Virginia, we got some conservative delegates in our House of Delegates, and we changed stuff. At our polls now, there's only one electronic machine. Everything else is an optical scan ballot. Now, that's not great, but that's better. And now it's easier since Santorum and Gingrich couldn't get on the primary ballot in 2012, we've changed the requirements so it's a little bit more fair. So these are things that can be done. That's why state elections matter. That's why local elections matter. You've got to get that force multiplier by going after those who don't participate. Because if they're thinking that it's just too late and it's the NWO and we're going to be the North American Union and the dollar's going to collapse, there's going to be SDRs, we got Russian troops here, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know what? That might all be true. It probably is. You're not going to win that fight. If you don't stop it from happening, you're not going to win that fight. It's a FEMA camp for you, or you got to compromise everything you believe in and, you know, take the chip and all that good stuff. So look, there's a woman in Sudan right now, a Christian woman, a pregnant Christian woman who has just been convicted to death. After, as soon as her baby's born, they're going to hang her because they consider her to be an apostate. You don't think that can happen here? It can happen here. You know, so what will most people do? Well, most of these backseat Christians, as Chris says, hiding in their churches, they'll just, you know, go with the namby-pamby feel-good Christianity instead of actually living their faith. And you libertarians, you won't be libertarians. No, they'll let you smoke pot. They'll let you be sodomites. If that's what's important to you, if that's how you define libertarianism, you're not really a libertarian. All right? You're a libertine. If you're a libertarian, they won't let you alone because you believe in non-aggression. You believe in free markets. You believe in personal responsibility. You believe in organic organization. That's not going to happen. That's not allowed. That's not permitted. If you're a liberal, that won't happen either. But don't try to convince the liberals because they're insane. So just get conservatives, libertarians, Christians, anybody who understands that the government needs to be put back in its box to work together, to participate, to not be spectators. It is the only way it is going to happen. It is the only way it is going to happen is if you do it and you make it happen. That's where we are. And where we are is 5 minutes into overtime. So, Chris, I'm going to let you have at it. If you want to go to closing thoughts, we'll go to closing thoughts. If you want to stick around and we play some more clips, just we can do that But I think the important thing is that people need to stop spectating and start participating and start kicking some ass and start taking some names and restore this country. It's not going to happen overnight. You're going to suffer defeat. So suck it up, be a big boy, and get to it. What do you want to do?
You know, something hit my mind when you said you don't think it can happen here. I don't know if anybody's ever really studied World War II past when we got involved, which was a whole lot of stuff that happened before the U.S. decided to get involved in World War II. But I've actually read information of people who lived in Germany in the rise of Hitler and testimonies and letters and things like that in articles. And what's really interesting is Germany was a Christian nation. And they were had gone through the Depression. Things were bad all over, kind of like they are now. And Hitler gets in power, then he starts clamping down on everything. And there are good people stood by and watched it happen, and they saw it happening, and they knew it was bad, and they did nothing. Okay? So this isn't, you know, history has so many lessons for us. The thing is, I don't know if you know, why people don't study it, but maybe they don't have a reason to, or, you know, they were bored to death with it in the way it's taught in school. But but if you go searching for things and you're looking for answers, there's an incredible amount of answers out there. And so, you know, my closing thoughts, and you can play clips if you want. You probably got a good closing clip. We'll cover it. But it's now. It's not 2016. It's 2014. We started prepping for 2014 a long time ago and trying to educate people how important it is and, you know, historical, you know, relevance with the Tea Party movement and the success of that. But there's a lot to be built on. Washington, D.C. is a mess. But if you look across at the states, one of the things the Tea Party did was deliver some pretty strong, you know, Republican states who have done good things, especially since the crash in 2008. And that's a good thing and a good reflection. We need more of that, of states that stand up to the government and say, get out of our business, get off our land, BLM, get the hell out of here. You know, sheriffs that, you know, the constitutional body in the state and all these different things. And there are great examples of people turning this machine around. Because one of the things, and I don't think people realize this, but the bailout package, the $800-plus billion bailout package, was a bribery to get people to vote for Obamacare. And that's all it was, because don't you remember there was like shovel-ready jobs and we're going to do all this work and we need $1 trillion and nothing happened? Nothing.
They were shoveling something.
More people went on unemployment, more people fell off the unemployment rolls, and the debt went up and Bernanke printed more money. And nothing happened, and yet we were never able to capitalize on it because Republicans in Congress are just as bad as the Democrats, and the media, most of it is leftist, communist, socialist, fascist anyway, so they weren't going to report on it. But what happened was that was a bribery payoff to the people that got Obama elected and the people who voted for Obamacare, because there was a lot of people that were skeptical of it, even in the Democrats, but when they hand your state, you know, $200 billion or $100 billion or $50 billion, you go, oh, okay, you can buy me, you know, because I'm a politician, I'm a whore, that's what I do. And so that was the beginning of the end. And here's the key. And I don't know how many – I've seen the articles of it and the statistics, but the first thing Obama does in a down economy, you know, just a crashed economy, is increased the size of government, is increased the employment roles in the federal government. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because he had He had a plan, yeah. And you increase it. And then your budget, your federal budget goes up to 3.6, goes up $1 trillion. And he blames it on Bush, blames it on Bush, blames it on Bush, blames it on Bush. But what it was $1 trillion a year for 8 years, $8 trillion of expanded government. Then when a Republican finally gets control, how do they unravel it? It was almost unravelable during the Bush era, but the Republicans and Bush for 6 years did nothing but expand government and launch wars around the world, and it was the perfect timing to start to turn the ship around. So Bush expands the government, puts us in debt, five debt ceiling increases, comes in, you know, record debt increase. Obama gets in, expands government regardless of us being, you know, usually when what happens when you have an economic crash in your household is you cut budget. You know, you sit down and have some serious discussions about, you know, going out to dinner and entertainment and what you're going to eat and do we really need this? Do we need, you know, this cell phone plan? Can we get a cheaper plan? And you make concessions and cuts. Obama didn't do that. He expanded everything during a recession or depression, depending on how you look at it. So they just build it out, overbearing, and just keep printing at the Fed until a point where how are you going to unravel it? Let's say you have Republicans in the House, the Senate, and the presidency. How do you unravel this monster? By then, it will be, I would say, $20, $22, $23 trillion in debt, and the budget will be about $4-plus trillion a year. The Fed balance sheet will be about $6-8 trillion, and how do you unravel it without destroying the economy? Because everybody is tied to the federal paycheck, whether it be their job or a contract or welfare. And there you have it. That was the plan. Build it out so damn big that the moment somebody walks in there trying to reform it, it just unravels, and then it crashes, and then the next party gets in and does it again. That's what we've been doing, and that's what's coming. And that's why 2014 is so important, absolutely important. Rand and Ted and Lee and Amash and Gowdy and the rest of those guys and some of these other guys need your help because they got these bureaucrats and these socialist fascists and rhinos scared to death because they're exposing the truth and they're exposing what's going on in Congress. And that's where we're at, you know. So that's my closing thoughts. You know, it's wake-up call. It's been wake-up call since 2012 or whenever the election was. Who knows? Wow. It goes fast, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. What a mess. So anyway, so I planted my garden. I'm going to grow some food, grow some fruit, and I'm going to enjoy my summer, and I'm just going to keep fighting on. I mean, what else are you going to do? You know, it's going to crash or it's going to crash, you know? And if you don't think it can't happen here, then you're a fool. I don't know what else to say. America was extraordinary because the people were extraordinary, and the rule of law was respected and followed, and the Bill of Rights. Without that Bill of Rights, we ain't extraordinary. We just have another government that can write laws and control everything. And they've been chiseling at that Bill of Rights for a long time. And I would say that they're just about erased. So that's my closing. Wake the hell up.
Yeah.
How's that for a closing?
Yeah. That's a good closing. Wake the hell up. Quit spectating. Get other people to quit spectating. It ain't a game. It ain't American Idol. All right? This isn't football. I mean, they're pushing such garbage. You know, one week it's, you know, the Clippers owner is racist. But, you know, it's okay that someone recorded his phone call because, you know, NSA has it anyway. The next week it's, you know, the last draft pick's boyfriend's cake face or whatever. Who cares? I mean, that's news. That's what you want to see on ESPN. That's what we want to talk about. In the meantime, you've got a hotbed in Ukraine that could trigger a global or a large regional war, split Europe in half again. And this time, I don't know which countries are going to be on the side of the Iron Curtain. I'm not sure that it's not Western Europe. And the Iron Curtain might not be managed by the imperial assholes in Washington, D.C. So, yeah, the situation sucks. We've allowed it to get this far. You give up, just watch it happen. You can do that. You sleep at night, but you can do that. Or you can get involved and do something to increase the people who are aware.
and what they can do about it. We do have the tools. We do have the processes. We can take it over. It's been done. The Liberty Movement, Ron Paul's Liberty Movement, took over a lot of the GOP. We just did it here in District 7 against Eric Cantnot. All right, Ben Sasse just won. The reason that the media is controlled to the level it is, and you heard a little bit from Ben Swan and Dan Rather in the beginning, and I got a clip on that, but we'll get to that next week. The reason it's controlled is because they've got to control your mind. They've got to manage what you think and how you act. They want you to feel defeated. They want you to feel defeated because then you won't fight. But if you fight and you get others to fight, we can make it happen. It is not a spectator sport. Okay, this is life. This is politics. This is important. If you want to be free, you have to stand up and take it. Now, that doesn't mean storm the castle with guns, because guess what? You're going to lose that battle. You don't have enough guns. You don't have enough ammunition. You don't have enough organization. Why? Because in 1903, you let them pass the Dick Law, and by 1933, you were relegated to the, quote, unorganized militia. What the hell is an unorganized militia? I mean, could you imagine going into battle with an unorganized force, or trying to police your neighborhood with an unorganized force, or trying to be an emergency responder with no coordination, no organization? It makes no sense. You're not organized. You're spread all over the place. You know, last time they did this was in the 1860s. Lincoln actually had to invade another country, the Confederate States of America. This time, we're not located in any single geography. We're spread out all over the place, and we don't know each other. Now, the Internet's been helping with that, which is why they want to control the Internet. You have to reach out and get people to realize that this whole false left-right political divide, this entire difference between conservatives and libertarians, all this stuff is pointless and doesn't matter because none of us are going to have a voice, none of us are going to have a say. Okay? That's it. Whatever your number one issue is, and I don't care if it's an important issue like pro-life or pro-marriage, or if it's a stupid issue like pro-pot or, you know, pro-space race or you know, pro-gun or whatever your little thing, it doesn't matter. It won't matter. None of them will happen. None of them will be important. None of them will be affected. Now, just so that we're clear, it's not likely to look like 1984. But you notice that in Orwell's 1984, that clip we opened with, and I'm going to close with a little bit of that, maybe some Ronald Reagan shortly. Really good stuff. You should listen to it. The important thing about Chapter 7 was that they were pointing out that the party, the party, not parties, they didn't even have a duopoly. It was a monopoly. The party controlled everything. But they kind of left the people alone. Why? Because the people were so dumbed down and more concerned with gambling and prostitution and sports contests to bother being need to be, you know, put in their place. They put themselves in their place. They were like cattle. And that's what we're becoming. And that's their plan. They realize that when you come down with boots on people's necks, people tend to resist. But when you convince them that they're happy slaves and you give them some level of freedom in regard to their entertainment and their frivolities, but no actual say, no actual aspiration, no control, no level of governance that they're involved in, then they won't resist. And that's what they're doing to us. Now, some of us will resist, especially if you're a faithful Christian and they decide to go against your faith. You're supposed to stand up. Remember, if you deny Christ, he'll deny you to his Father. So faithful Christians will be persecuted. That is going to happen. And if you're a libertarian who tends to be, you know, more of a free thinker and you want to just live your life your way and you don't want other people to dictate terms to you, you're probably a problem too. A lot of people will be so fearful and so dependent because they just want that next bite to eat or that next, you know, prescription drug or whatever it is that they'll go along. But those who resist, they'll just disappear. You'll be left with a population that is compliant. That's their end game. Now, we're not there yet. We're getting pretty close. So you got to get people to stop being spectators. Get people to get involved, to understand who they are, what they've inherited, and fight for it. And this Tuesday, we can take out Mitch McConnell. That'll send the media into
fits and starts because they won't understand. The racist, teabagging, crazy, nut job, libertarian, Ron Paul, psychotic, pro-life, right-wingers dislodged Mitch McConnell. That would be huge. You can make it happen. It is within our grasp. Now, if it doesn't happen, does that mean that it's all over and we give up? No. But if you don't try, you won't know what your power is. So try. If you're going to lose it, Mitch McConnell's going to get reelected. At least make him feel the burn. Close that gap. But it's close, and you can win. Make some phone calls. Get on Matt Bevin's site. Tell people about it. So many people don't even know that the primary is going on, and people outside of Kentucky don't even know that they can do something about it. That's your job. That's why we do this show. Chris and I pay money to do this, and we spend time getting it together. Obviously, we don't have any advertising on the show. The only reason it exists is because you share it and you listen, and we thank you very much for that. But that's why you get 2 hours of analysis and a little reverence and some radioactivity. But you also get about an hour worth of clips of stuff that you might not have heard because maybe you don't get to watch CNN and MSLSD and find out that Rand Paul went to Harvard and that he's speaking at Berkeley and that he spoke at the Leadership Institute. And we try to bring you that stuff because that's the ammunition you need to convince those mindless spectators that they can get involved and do something about it. And it doesn't mean that we have to all think alike or be alike or have the same religious views or love the Republican Party or identify as a conservative. That's pointless crap that divides us so that you can cheer when your team's winning and boo when theirs is winning. Obama's bad, blah, blah, blah. Screw Obama. He's a useless meat puppet. You wanna make his last 2 years painful? That's right. Get rid of Mitch McConnell. Put some more Republican senators in there. Then they can pressure the other Republicans to actually act conservative. Mitch McConnell will just provide cover, just like Johnny Boehner does. You've got to be that voice. You've got to be that pressure. And you got to work together. Because the way that this country was set up, and some people say, oh, it was 200 years ago, right? We're a different place now. It's technology, blah, blah. It's fine. We can apply those principles, which are still the law, by the way, to today. But the idea is that you are supposed to live your life as you ought in your community with as little interference by anybody outside of it, except in those few areas where we have to work in concert. And we have a huge hole. It's a 100-year march down the road to serfdom that we've been going at various speeds and fits and starts, but we're way down that road. And we ain't going to climb out of that hole in an election cycle or two. It's going to take more than that. And is it going to crash? Is it going to get worse? Probably. Suck it up. What you have to do is make sure that we have the structure in place to pick up the ball after that. Because if you don't put it in place now, you can forget about it. You will never put it back in place. Maybe your great-great-great-grandchildren might get it back, but you won't. And they'll have to look back and say, that generation – in the early part of the 21st century, the ones that just caused all these friggin' problems for us that we've got to rebuild 250 years worth of institutional knowledge and liberty back in place. Or they can look back and say, remember those days in the early part of the 21st century when they stood up and they fought for us and they restored that shining city on the hill where men can live free and virtuously. That would be something. You could be proud of that legacy. But it's not going to happen if you're sitting back on your ass being spoon-fed information by Fox News and MSLSD and some stupid website and some stupid blog talk radio show and then going about tomorrow like nothing changed. If you don't take this information that we're giving you, and you don't have to agree with everything we have to say, but you can agree with some broad things. We all know that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. We need the rule of law. We need people involved at all levels. We need to return power back to the locals, local authorities and states and your community and your family. And we need to fix our culture and who we are. If you take somebody out of 1980 or even go back further, 1960, 1950, 1930, 1900, whatever, if you take anybody from any of those periods
and bring them to today, they will look at you and go, what the hell did you do? Who are you people? Now, that doesn't mean we go back to being who those people were, because that's not going to happen. We're going to go forward. Things are going to be different. We are different. But some things never change, and when you try to change them, you get chaos, and that's where we are. Learn to get along. Learn to quit fighting about stupid crap. Quit being distracted by nonsense and noise. And don't be embarrassed to tell people about this. I mean, are you going to regret having an opportunity to help somebody wake up and get involved and get Matt Bevin elected and get rid of the rhinos and fire Obama and replace the rhino with a conservative in 2016? Are you going to be embarrassed to have that conversation? Are you going to be more embarrassed sitting in a FEMA camp saying, well, I could have done something, but I was too busy stuffing my face with Cheetos and watching American Idol and The Real Housewives of Douchebag City or whatever. And, you know, I didn't think it would happen this fast. Which mistake do you want to make? Offending somebody today who may not actually agree with you, or regretting not having said anything when you're sitting in a camp, or when you're dead, or when you've been shipped overseas to a prison barge? Those are your choices. Or will you just cower down and go along to get along as a happy little slave who gives up their personal convictions, their spiritual convictions, their religious convictions, their family identity, and just does what they're told so that they can get a few scraps from the table, a little bit of entertainment, and something to numb their mind? It's your choice. This is happening now. Everything looks hunky-dory. Everything looks normal, but it's friggin' falling apart. And if you're a spectator, you're not going to win. And if you're in the game, you might lose. But at least you can lose proudly knowing that you gave it your all. But guess what? There are enough of us who think like this, who believe in liberty. We don't agree on everything. We don't live the same lifestyles. We don't look the same. We don't eat the same food. We don't speak the same way. We don't do all the same things. But we believe in being free. If enough of us actually put our money and our effort where our heart is, we can restore it and live our lives the way we want. It is totally up to you. Join us next week, 9 p.m. Sunday. In the meantime, make sure you make your calls. Wake people up. Let's fire Mitch McConnell. Ditch Mitch. He's a bitch. This is Rex and Trog signing off.
The thunder of liberty rumbles on.
Winston watched them disgustedly. And yet, just for a moment, what almost frightening power had sounded in that cry from only a few hundred throats. Why was it that they could never shout like that about anything that mattered? Until they become conscious, they will never rebel. And until after they have rebelled, they cannot become conscious. That, he reflected, might almost have been a transcription from one of the party textbooks. The party claimed, of course, to have liberated the proles from bondage. Before the revolution, they had been hideously oppressed by the capitalists. They had been starved and flogged. Women had been forced to work in the coal mines. Women still did work in the coal mines, as a matter of fact. Children had been sold into the factories at the age of six. But simultaneously, true to the principles of doublethink, the party taught that the proles were natural inferiors who must be kept in subjection, like animals, by the application of a few simple rules. In reality, very little was known about the proles. It was not necessary to know much. So long as they continued to work and breed, their other activities were without importance. Left to themselves, like cattle turned loose upon the plains of Argentina, they had reverted to a style of life that appeared to be natural to them, a sort of ancestral pattern. They were born, they grew up in the gutters, they went to work at 12, they passed through a brief blossoming period of beauty and sexual desire, they married at 20, they were middle-aged at 30, they died for the most part at 60. Heavy physical work, the care of home and children, petty quarrels with neighbors, films, football, beer, and above all, gambling, filled up the horizon of their minds. To keep them in control was not difficult.
My award for someone who thought of the right answer while the discussion was still going on is a young man named Brad Lanaweaver, a member of Young Americans for Freedom at Pennsylvania State University. He has written of an encounter on the campus with a pretty young lady who believes socialism is the answer to our problems. His own philosophy was self-evident because he was wearing a button that proclaimed, "Cut down big government." With the cool breeze stirring her hair, she asked what Brad described as her ace-up-the-sleeve question. "Even you right-wingers don't want to starve. Wouldn't you like a guarantee that you won't ever go hungry?" Brad knew that if he admitted to this, she'd follow with, "So why not such a guarantee for shelter, medicine, and all the rest?" He paused, and then gave her the victory she was seeking, or so she thought. He said, "Sure, I'd like to lay my hands on everything I can get." "Oh," she said, "but the state is the closest you can come to such a guarantee." Brad described her as braced for a counterattack involving the magic of the market mechanism, but he threw another curve. "Sure," he said, "I grant that. There's something more. I'd like a guarantee of shelter and medical treatment and even some recreation." She must have thought she had a convert. A little shocked, she spoke, "But that's what we support. Why are you wearing that button?" She meant, of course, that cut-down big government button. Brad wasn't finished. He said to her, "I would also like a yacht." Somewhat defeated, she answered, "Well, if you're not going to be serious about it." "But I am," Brad said as earnestly as he could. "I would really and truly like a yacht. Also a seaside villa." "Look," she said sternly, "you know what I'm talking about. Sharing. I'm not interested in your greedy daydreams. I'm asking what everyone should have." "All right," Brad answered, "I understand. Let everyone have a yacht." "But how?" she asked lucidly with the first sign of a rational thought. "Don't bother me with that," he said. "There'll be a way, I'm sure. Just so everyone has a yacht. However, there is one more thing I would like." "What?" she asked. "Two yachts." Brad wrote that she looked rather unpleasant at that point, and he feared for his safety. Then she declared, "It's people like you who keep socialism from working." And Brad agreed. "Yes, quite right. Perhaps if people like me were put away somewhere, socialism would have a chance." By now she was really glaring as she tried to think of an answer. Brad continued, "But there's still one problem. How many are there, like me?" "Well, not as many as you think," she said, and walked away. And then Brad came up with a really appropriate last line. He wrote, "There she's wrong, and that's why she's a socialist." How right he is. Socialists ignore the side of man that is of the spirit. They can provide shelter, fill your belly with bacon and beans, treat you when you're ill, all the things that are guaranteed to a prisoner or a slave. They don't understand that we also dream. Yes, even of sometime owning a yacht. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening. A modern-day little red hen may not appear to be a quotable authority on economics, but then some authorities on economics aren't worth quoting. I'll be right back. About a year ago, I imposed a little poetry on you. It was called The Incredible Bread Machine, and made a lot of sense with reference to matters economic. You didn't object too much, so, having gotten away with it once, I'm going to try again. This is a little treatise on basic economics called The Modern Little Red Hen. Once upon a time, there was a little red hen who scratched about the barnyard until she uncovered some grains of wheat. She called her neighbors and said, "If we plant this wheat, we shall have bread to eat. Who will help me plant it?" "Not I," said the cow. "Not I," said the duck. "Not I," said the pig. "Not I," said the goose. "Then I will," said the little red hen, and she did. The wheat grew tall and ripened into golden grain. "Who will help me reap my wheat?" asked the little red hen. "Not I," said the duck. "Out of my classification," said the pig. "I'd lose my seniority," said the cow. "I'd lose my unemployment compensation," said the goose. "Then I will," said the little red hen, and she did. At last it came time to bake the bread. "Who will help me bake bread?" asked the little red hen. "Oh, that'd be overtime for me," said the cow. "I'd lose my welfare benefits," said the duck. "I'm a dropout and never learned how," said the pig. "Well, if I'm to be the only helper, that's discrimination," said the goose. "Then I will," said the little red hen. She baked 5 loaves and held them up for her neighbors to see. They all wanted some, and in fact demanded a share. But the little red hen said, "No, I can eat the 5 loaves myself." "Excess profits," cried the cow. "Capitalist leech," screamed the duck. "I demand equal rights," yelled the goose. And the pig just grunted. And they painted unfair picket signs and marched round and round the little red hen, shouting obscenities. When the government agent came, he said to the little red hen, "You must not be greedy." "But I earned the bread," said the little red hen. "Exactly," said the agent. That's the wonderful free enterprise system. Anyone in the barnyard can earn as much as he wants. But under our modern government regulations, the productive workers must divide their product with the idle. And they lived happily ever after, including the little red hen, who smiled and clucked, "I am grateful, I am grateful." But her neighbors wondered why she never again baked any more bread. I guess a lot of us have been wondering something like that.
We try to figure out, and this is your job as well as the rest of us, how we get the party bigger. I'm reminded of a poet by the name of Robert Henri, and he wrote that to young painters, he exhorted them, he said, "Paint like a man coming over the hill singing." And I like the image of that. And I think that's the kind of optimistic image that we need to project. Paint like a man coming over the hill singing. I think we need to proclaim our message like Patrick Henry, "Give me liberty or give me death." We need to proclaim the message with passion. We also need to proclaim it with
something
optimism.
You said,
though,
the thing about a crossroads that people don't appreciate, when you get there, you have four options, essentially five. You can stop and do nothing. You can go backwards. You can continue on the exact same path. You can go to the left, or you can go to the right. This is not a simple task before us. I am begging people to go to the right. This is our nation needs people who care. I've talked to thousands of people around this state, thousands. There are people who care, but they need to care enough to come out and vote. And if people would come alongside us, go to mattbevin.com, reach out to us. We will be able to plug people in these last days and weeks to be able to make this happen. 2 weeks from yesterday, May 20th, is the primary here in Kentucky.
Before an insanity, you should fight for your destiny. When they try to destroy your home, there is only one way to go. Get alive, free of ill, flame of gain, seek your revenge. Get it right, rule the night, break the chain, show them you care. Fight forever, when you're the blinding light, then together, forever free and right. Fight forever. All over me, I hit respect, I am hard as steel. I'm a winner and that's for sure. Break the law and unlock the door. Get alive, free of self, blame of gain, seek your revenge. Get it right, rule the night, break the chain, show them you care.